Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! I got to tell you, it certainly is frustrating to try to cram two shows into one. I'm sorry about last night, but it was unavoidable. Football season has begun here, insofar as football practice has begun. And Ferg, before they even got the pads on and started hitting each other, hurt himself. This was during weight training, weight conditioning. He was bench pressing, and well, bless his heart, he's a devoted, dedicated guy. And they were bench pressing. One more, one more. You can do it. You can do it. And he's pushing. And he's bench pressing. And he's. And something in his elbow goes. Luckily, it's a different elbow from the one that went last year. So off to the emergency room we went. You know what? We walk in. Hi, Mr. Kincaid. Hi, Ferg. How you doing? What'd you do this time? We're on a first name basis. Pretty soon, I think I'm just going to get our own room. But no, he's apparently wrenched a ligament or something. But on top of that, it turns out that, and you know, welcome to medical care in America. I don't quite understand this. They took an he had some knee problems out of the season last year. So last May, they did an MRI of his knee and sent it back to his orthopod. And nothing happened. Nothing. And you know how it gets in the busy day-to-day the madness of any given of your life, my life, our lives. Out of sight, out of mind. So they didn't call us. So yesterday, I'm over in the ER, and I just walked over the medical records, and I said, you know, while I'm at it, I might as well get a copy of that MRI report. Famous last words. So it turns out not only has he got a dinged-up elbow, he has a badly torn meniscus in his left knee. Am I violating any, legal rule? I'm his dad. Come on. Your family. So there may be some surgery in the future. We don't know. The next consult is couldn't get an earlier appointment than September. Yeah, you know, what's a month? You know, the thing was shot in May. What the... So anyway, that's what my evening was, and that's why we've got to cram two shows into one show's worth of programming. And don't anybody say, well, hey, Bob, just go extra. No, I like to go listen to Malloy, thank you. So, no, that's 3 hours that we've got to get this all in. And so much to get in this. Just to give you a quick update, the weather permitting, the massive Kincaid family septic odyssey will be completed no later than Wednesday. You remember the urgency with which we raised money to do this, and we did manage to raise the $5,000 during the month of late June, early June. Yeah, it was mid-June, during which we were under the gun lest we start getting $100 a day fines. That part we dodged, and we were under the impression I had been given the impression that the darn thing was going to be $5,000, and we raised that. Granted, that included the regular $2,000 that it takes to run the network on any given month, but we raised the $5,000, and I greedily tucked it away and hoarded it against the day when we would. Well, the final numbers are in, and it just crossed the $7,000 mark.
that might not be so bad if, you know, the fundraising for last month, we can just put off the bills and tell them they'll go into the hat next month. If fundraising for the July had been normal, but that was a $700 hole. And so here I am. Here we are. And scrambling to finish the great Kincaid family septic odyssey. And you know what's going to happen? I'm going to make, school's not back in session or anything. The minute that that big-ass concrete tank is in the ground, I'm gathering all the little Kincaidkins and Agnes and me, and we're going to stand by it, doing a big thumbs up, and put it up on the website. Thanks to you, it works. For all of us. But we've got a lot of, so far the beginning of August has been every bit as grim as the beginning of July and the rest of July was. If you can help, please do so. You know where the button is. It's at headonradionetwork.com. It's under the Contribute tab, and it says PayPal. There's also a snail mail address. You're free to use that as well if you'd like. Obviously, sir. You know, we're going to have to lay a lot more pipe here. It's going to take a lot more gravel, not just any gravel. We're going to have to get that high grade gravel, and high grade gravel is more expensive. We have a lot of. Write another check. So that's where that is. And it sort of makes your eyes cross and water after a while. No kidding, it really does. But that's that. And I anticipate that we will on Wednesday, prayer meeting Wednesday of next week, we will have a hallelujah scream fest, as the thing will be all tied in and completed. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Cross your fingers. That's a little bit of that stuff and where I was last night and the sort of stuff that's on my mind. But, you know, and I share this with you because this is our reality. This is not some sort of made-up phony baloney show that's based on the ravings of a tertiary syphilitic madman like Flush Flemball. And there's some Flush Flemball news out there this evening. All kinds of good fun going on with him. But I thought it might be appropriate to sort of do a follow-up on something that apparently resonated with all of y'all. I got an email today from Greg in San Diego. And Greg said, "Keep pounding on the dangers of high fructose corn syrup, Bob. You got my attention when you described how it was metabolized in the liver and the story this week of it fueling cancer cell growth just added to the concern. I'm having your mother's dial soap moment the next few days as I dump any food or beverage items with high fructose corn syrup. I had one round of skin cancer removal in 2009 and a second round a few months ago. My dermatologist even commented the second time he was surprised at how quickly it had returned and grown rapidly. Now I'm wondering if high fructose corn syrup was a factor. While the cancer study focused on pancreatic cancer, it mentioned that high fructose corn syrup likely would increase the growth of other types of cancer. Even items that you wouldn't expect to have it, such as diet soft drinks, sometimes do. I was drinking Diet Orange Crush yesterday when you were going over the pancreatic study. I checked the label on the can, and high fructose corn syrup was one of the ingredients. That's all getting dumped. Diet Sunkist doesn't have high fructose corn syrup, so I'll be switching to that. Having grown up in Kansas City, by the way, I must have my barbecue, but almost all barbecue sauces have high fructose corn syrup. In checking at the grocery store this morning, one that doesn't is Bullseye. That prized bottle of sauce I also have from Arthur Bryant's Barbecue in Kansas City doesn't have it either. By the way, a bread I like, San Francisco International Crustini Sandwich Rolls, now lists prominently on the packaging no high fructose corn syrup. So maybe slow progress is being made, and there's a bit of an update on that as well. Greg says, though, but until it's banned, as should probably happen, I'll be checking and dumping everything with high fructose corn syrup and not buying anything that does have it. And I think that's probably a wise position to take, especially in light. And now, I say this is an update, but it's actually old news, so to speak. The story is from the New York Times, April 30th of 2010. And there's some interesting stuff to be learned therein. April 30th, 2010, from the New York Times, a headline, "For corn syrup, the sweet talk gets harder." Corn syrup? I thought it was high fructose corn syrup. Oh, wait, that's in the article. And the New York Times is, in its business section, doing its doggone level best to comply with the needs of the Corn Refiners Association of America. The April 30th story begins, "For much of 2009, Michael Locascio, an executive at ConAgra Foods, watched with concern as the bad news about high fructose corn syrup kept coming in. In January, there were studies showing that samples of the sweetener contained the toxic metal mercury. Then came a popular Facebook page that I just joined today, Ban High Fructose Corn Syrup. Thanks, Marty, for sending that along. By year-end, there were about a dozen spoofs on YouTube mocking efforts by makers of high fructose corn syrup to show that science is on their side. But it was pleading comments like this one from a devoted ConAgra customer that finally persuaded Mr. Locascio, president of the meal enhancers category at ConAgra." Meal enhancers? Is that like condiments? Only we can't say condiments anymore because it's too confusing to the fundamentalists? Could be. Persuaded Mr. Locascio to take action. Quote, "Hunt's is by far the best ketchup ever, but please start making a variety without the high fructose corn syrup," wrote Jennifer from New Hampshire. She got her wish when ConAgra decided to reformulate one of its biggest brands, replacing the high fructose corn syrup in Hunt's ketchup with old-fashioned sugar. And as of April, the new bottles were hitting the shelves. I saw it when it happened, and lo and behold, guess who followed suit? There was Heinz right there with them. Me, I'm a Heinz guy. I think Hunt's tastes a little bit funny. So, two cannibals are eating a clown. One looks at the other and says, "Hey, does this taste funny to you?" "No, Hunt's ketchup tastes a little funny to me." In the news story, however, is an interesting list. Within a paragraph, and the paragraph says, "Hunt's ketchup is among the latest in a string of major brand products that have replaced the vilified sweetener." Oh, it's vilified. Thank you, New York Times. No, it's not vilified. It's freaking poison! Gatorade. It's gone. Several Kraft salad dressings. Wheat Thins. Ocean Spray cranberry juice. Pepsi Throwback, Mountain Dew Throwback, and the baked goods at Starbucks, to name but a few, are all made with regular sugar now. Although it says are all now made with regular sugar, because ending a sentence in a preposition for the New York Times is something up with which they will not put. So keep an eye out there, and be a label reader, but you really do have to be a label reader, because it's like the eternal dynamic tension between burglars and locksmiths. Every time a locksmith makes a better lock, you get a more determined burglar. In this case, in this piece, the burglar in question is the Corn Refiners Association. Now, the other night I kept saying the High Fructose Corn Syrup Association of America, but that's a little too obvious, right? But there really is such a lobby group, the Corn Refiners Association, right? It turns out, you gotta love this, we're winning, according to this article. U.S. sales of high fructose corn syrup for Archer Daniels Midland, remember how they used to advertise on CBS Sunday Morning, Archer Daniels Midland. Don't they make television antennas or something for Radio Shack? Archer? Oh, wait. Archer Daniels Midland, Tate and Lyle, and Corn Products International, sales were down 9% in 2009 compared with 2007. The article states a further decline is expected this year. And this is... This gives you an idea of what we're up against. In response to the growing public concern and outcry about this poisonous industrial substance. The Corn Refiners Association hired an ad agency named DDB, who probably should give the money back given the way the ad was parodied. DDB and a team at Ogilvy Public Relations. The Corn Refiners Association dumped a big bag of $30 million over the last 2 years, averaging $15 million a year, into an ad campaign that they call Sweet Surprise, and they've even got a website. It's so cute. And they complain that these people who they're un-American the way they complain about high fructose corn syrup. Hi, the corn's grown in America. God bless America. Somebody cue up Toby. No, Lee Greenwood.
And the complaints are vague and unsubstantiated.
Unless your pancreas is exploding. But in particular, a series of TV ads, there's one of a woman at a picnic. The woman is pouring soda pop into cups for her kids. And the woman says, wow, you don't care what the kids eat, huh? And I guess mommy pouring the poison into the cups pushes back at the mommy who actually cares about her children. And the mom who cares about her children can't identify why the syrup's so bad. And then she sort of retreats by saying, love that top. This is one of the beautiful things about the inner tubes. It really is. The ad was so sleazy, so greasy, so crummy, and so corporate. Brought to you by the corporate advertising agency, DDB. Oh, hell, just give up and call it DDT. That a pair of comedians from California immediately took the thing straight to ground. This is precious audio.
Hey!
Hey!
Wow. You really don't care about your family, do you?
Excuse me?
Made in China? That stuff's full of lead.
And?
Well, you know what they say about it, right?
Like what?
You know, it causes birth defects.
And that it's made from corn, doesn't have any artificial ingredients, and is safe in moderation.
Love that top.
Thanks.
Love that top.
You know, when a gigantic, monstrous food production conglomerate has to tell you that something is safe in moderation, odds are it's probably not safe even in moderation. Safe in moderation is what you hear about 150-proof liquor. Hey, it's safe in moderation. Moderation in all things, nothing to excess. Except excess, and that's a bit of a conundrum. Oh, yeah, this is... Oh, God, this is good. These people had an absolute field day with this stupid ad. You know, I played one Wednesday night of the woman assaulting her boyfriend with a popsicle. Not like that. Now stop that.
Lead from communist China. Get the facts. You're in for a sweet surprise.
Oh, burned with their advertising slogan, their own advertising slogan. But what's more, what's better, is there were multiple variations on this ad parody, such as...
Hey, here's Skylar at Space Mountain, aww. Madison at the Tiki Room, and oh, here's a great shot of Caitlin getting her clitorectomy.
Wow, you really don't care about your family, do you?
Excuse me?
Come on, that's female genital mutilation?
And?
Well, you know what they say about it, right?
Like what?
You know, it robs young women of sexual desire.
And that it's made from corn, doesn't have any artificial ingredients, and is safe in moderation.
Love that top.
Thanks.
genital mutilation. Get the facts. You're in for a sweet surprise.
Oh, yeah. This is rich. This is beautiful stuff. Whoever did this, I wish I knew. This is just a YouTube clip. These people are geniuses. And then there's this one, the third and final in the series, and quite possibly the best. Now, in the New York Times article, it references these videos, and then the head of the Corn Refiners Association says, no, I haven't really seen them. I don't have time to look at them, which is corporate ad speak for God Almighty, I saw them, and if I could find the people who created them, I would set fire to their houses and rape their dogs! Because that's how corporate America is, and for that matter, transnational corporations. Right? Right.
Hey, so I have to pick up the dry cleaning, make a bunch of cupcakes for the bake sale, and then get the whole family over to the Robinson's place by midnight for the cross burning.
Wow. You really don't care about your family, do you?
Excuse me?
Come on. The KKK's throwing that event.
And?
Well, you know what they say about the Ku Klux Klan.
Like what?
You know, they're a bunch of hateful, close-minded, inbred idiots.
And that they're made from corn, have no artificial ingredients, and are safe in moderation.
Love that top.
Thanks. I think some nigger made it. That is cute.
The new KKK. Get the facts. You're in for a sweet surprise.
Lawrence Elbert and written by Jackie Beat. Oh, and I guess you can see more at Jackie Beat, JACKIEBEAT, Jackie Beat rules. This kind of stuff drives corporate America bug spray crazy.
Ms. Erickson says she has heard of the spoofs but has not bothered to watch most of them. We're really focused on trying to correct the record since a lot of the information consumers had is incorrect. High fructose corn syrup is a case of mistaken identity. I just don't know what an interesting monster can do when an interesting monster can't get an interesting hairdo. Bobby Pins, please. Oh, that's never going to hold. You're going to need a permanent...
But, there's another problem. And when I read the other problem, I went and got one of the two bottles of barbecue sauce I brought home last night. Once we knew that Ferg was going to live, I stopped by the grocery store because I had to have something besides that god-awful Kraft made in a 500 million gallon vat, high fructose corn syrup laden garbage. If they can take it out of their salad dressings, why can't they take it out of their barbecue sauce? Is that bigotry against Southerners?
Well, look, the rednecks don't know nothing. They're all swilling that Pepsi Cola and that Coca Cola and that Dr. Pepper and that Mountain Dew and that Kick. Drinking that Sun Drop
what was the name of that stuff? Dadgummit, they used to sponsor the morning show on WHNT. Double Cola, they all drinking that double cola? They ain't going to notice any high fructose corn syrup. They rednecks, they stupid. We'll just leave it in the barbecue sauce. We'll put in the extra we ain't putting in the salad dressing. How's that? Well, I found one that came from North Carolina, a thin vinegary-based sauce that has no high fructose corn syrup in it, and it is quite good, thank you very much. Very thin, very tangy, very spicy. But then I picked up a bottle of John Boy and Billy's Grillin' Sauce. And I read down there, tomato, ketchup, vinegar, spices, corn syrup. Well, that must be like the Cairo syrup, right? Not necessarily. In a further attempt to improve its image, the Corn Refiners Association has petitioned the Food and Drug Administration to allow a name change to the simpler, less chemically sounding corn syrup. It's just corn syrup. In January of this year, the FDA issued a letter to the Corn Refiners Association giving its thumbs up to the name change. But after an objection from the corn refiners' rival, namely the Sugar Association, Food and Drug Administration officials sent another letter saying they needed to give the matter further thought. And again, this is a story dated April 30th, 2010. I don't know what the answer was, but I suspect because God, I'm such a label reading geek. I'm sorry. I know you want me to talk about WikiLeaks or something. I'll get there. I promise. I started seeing corn syrup show up a lot, so I'm betting that they got the thumbs up again. So now when you see corn syrup, you have to think high fructose corn syrup. Because all corn syrups are not created the same. You know, God, I think Cairo syrup, which is a corn syrup made from corn starch, came online in 1902. Now, they did not have the fracking process for creating high fructose corn syrup at that point in time. But for all I know, Cairo syrup is made of high fructose corn syrup now as well.
Let's give it to baby. She's a little constipated.
Yeah, let's. So be aware, just because it doesn't say high fructose in front of it, now that means that the American Corn Refiners Association of America, God bless America, let's all sing, probably had its way with the Food and Drug Administration and left the Food and Drug Administration feeling all sticky, broken, confused. But in the way of data, the story also notes, in the recent Princeton study that gave support to his side, namely his side being Ivan Royster, who started the Facebook page against high fructose corn syrup, one group of rats was given access to high fructose corn syrup while another got sugar-sweetened drinks. The study found that the rats that gulped lots of drinks with high fructose corn syrup gained more weight than those that had the sugar, even when their overall caloric intake was the same. Meanwhile, Dr. Ludwig of Children's Hospital in Boston, who apparently, I don't know, must be on the payroll of the Corn Refiners Association, God bless America, let's all sing, said he's not leaping to any conclusions.
You can feed almost anything to rats and they'll get fat, and a fat rat study is a long way from understanding human nutrition.
Yeah. So that's, you know, just by way of a little high fructose corn syrup update, you might want to be wary of the word corn syrup now. And of course, bear in mind that the corn from which, as Marty reminds me, the corn from which high fructose corn syrup is made is generally something, I don't know, maybe probably petitioned the FDA or Department of Agriculture or, I don't know, Fred Phelps's the Westboro Baptist Church, whomever, to change the name of that too. But it used to go by the name of number two field grade Roundup Ready corn. Because that was corn that had been genetically modified so that you could spray it with deadly, deadly poisons. And there was something inside the corn that wouldn't let the deadly, deadly poison kill it. And that's what they make the high fructose corn syrup out of. Well, I've got a friend in here. Looks like a hornet. I hope he decides to mind his own business. I'll mind mine, you mind yours. No, you're flying a little too close. I don't want to get cranky. Beautiful little beasts, really, you know? But at any rate, this whole thing is a toxic soup. You've got an industrial sweetener made out of genetically modified corn that, you know, for all we know, six generations down the road will make all babies be born with arms coming out of their heads. Ron writing in from Raleigh and says, corn refiners? Bob, I thought Corn Refiners Association was the moonshiners. I'd sue for defamation. My God, if I was a self-respecting moonshiner, I would too. So, just be alert because they're trying to outflank you and your guts and your brain because they've got $30 million invested in thinking that they can use you and bypass you and make sure. And, well, frankly, they've got $30 million that says they're smarter than you are. Me, I'd like to collect that bet. But I'm cranky that way. No, there's a bunch of stuff out there, and we will get to it all this evening. By the way, did you know that Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, never graduated from college? No, really. Rand Paul, Kentucky GOP Senate candidate, is a college dropout. Yeah. The Lexington Herald leader, recently reporting, Rand Paul, the Republican U.S. Senate nominee from Kentucky, holds a medical degree from Duke University, but never received his bachelor's degree from Baylor University, contrary to several media reports in recent months. Oopsie, is someone getting a little lazy with the journalism button? Yes. Namely, the Associated Press, the Courier-Journal of Louisville, Time, and U.S. News and World Report. The Rand Paul campaign said, we never said he graduated. He just went on to Duke. Well, you know what? There's a word for that. Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, is a college dropout. Really? He's a college dropout. And he wants to be in the Senate. Ah, well, you know, what's one dropout? What's a couple of credit hours here and there? He did go on to become a libertarian ophthalmologist, so what's the big deal? So we have that. What else do we have? I ran across this one from our good buddy Dave Nyward over at Crooks and Liars, and I just had to giggle. We all know who Andrew Breitbart is, right? Well, let me back up. By way of prologue, our dear friend Eugene Finnerman, the Internet's most brilliant satirist, made me aware of something. I was aware of it, but he made me hyper aware of it. You realize, of course, that the other night on Fox, they're still having their little chroma key and Chiron and font generator problems. And they've apparently got some mixed up cross-referencing and listing references and so forth in their video morgue library. Yes, they really and for truly do. In a Your RDA of Irony posting, if you're not signed up for Your RDA of Irony, why aren't you? You will certainly, you'll know what I'm about to do when I'm about to do it, won't you? If you are. In a Your RDA of Irony special Friday afternoon edition, Eugene Finnerman posted a short piece called If You've Seen One, and he notes from a news story, Greta Van Susteren sick over Shirley Sherrod-Maxine Waters mix-up. During a segment about the ethics violations California Democrat Maxine Waters is accused of, on the record with Greta Van Susteren, I love this story, especially because it happened on the record. You know, records are supposed to be sort of sacrosanctly correct. You're supposed to make a real serious effort to be correct when you're on the record. On the record with Greta Van Susteren, producers actually showed footage of another black woman in the news, Shirley Sherrod. They meant to show Maxine Waters. They showed Shirley Sherrod instead. Says Eugene, Fox News would like to clarify the following points. Viewers may have gotten the impression that Representative Charles Rangel is a pedophile. By accident, we showed a picture of Bill Bojangles Robinson tap dancing with Shirley Temple. Ms. Temple assures the Fox audience that Mr. Robinson always knew his place. Viewers may have gotten the impression that Representative Maxine Waters was guilty of medical malpractice by claiming to be an obstetrician. By accident, we showed the wrong film clip. That actually was Butterfly McQueen saying she didn't know nothing about birthing no babies. Olivia de Havilland assures our viewers that, to her knowledge, Miss McQueen performed no abortions on the set, but Leslie Howard certainly would have been the father. Viewers may also have gotten the impression that Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor is a promiscuous slut in a Puerto Rican gang and indirectly responsible for the death of Richard Beyer. By accident, we showed the wrong film clip. That actually was Rita Moreno in West Side Story. However, if Sotomayor had killed Richard Beyer, We certainly wouldn't blame her. And I was giggling about that when I ran across this at Crooks and Liars from our good friend Dave Nyward, author, co-author of Over the Cliff, How Obama's Election Drove the American Right Insane. He and vlog father John Amato wrote this seminal text on right-wing lunacy. Dave Nyward starts out by noting that he had done a panel at one time with Andrew Breitbart, and that Breitbart got off on yelling the word racist over and over and over again because he felt that would weaken the meaning behind the word. And Dave observes conservatives just hate being called racist for some reason. Wonder why. But anyway, it turns out that Andrew Breitbart had a new hire, a guy named Kevin Pezzi. And Kevin Pezzi is quite the character, shall we say. Dave quotes a piece by Ben DiMiero and Eric Hananoki. Meet Breitbart's charade writer, racist sexual expert. Oh, sexual expert, this could get good. And inventor who cured cancer. And they write, in two posts on Andrew Breitbart's big government website, Dr. Kevin Pezzi smears Shirley Sherrod as a racist, claiming that, quote, if someone deserves to be put on a pedestal for overcoming racism, it isn't Sherrod. The racism criticism is ironic, coming from Pezzi, who has repeatedly used racial epithets like Japs and Chinks and claimed Native and African Americans should have been grateful for their subjugation by white people. Pezzi told People that Andrew Breitbart asked him to write for BigGovernment.com. He is a shameless self-promoter, and his history is a real delight. Pezzi claims to be responsible for, quote, over 850 inventions and schemes like a magic bullet for cancer, a robotic chef, and a whole host of sexual inventions like penile enlargement techniques and ways to tighten the vagina. Because, and this is his, these are his words again, men like women with tight vaginas. Well, this show's going downhill rapidly, isn't it? Pezzi has started multiple websites, from term paper helpers to a sexual help site that answers your questions about sexual attraction, pleasure, performance, and libido. And again, these are Kevin Pezzi's words. No doctor in the world knows more about sexual pleasure than I do. Oh, it goes on and on. This guy's a real creep. So, here's the fun part. As soon as word started going around of what a hoodoo artist, what a hustler, what a flim-flam man, you know, what a carnival midway creepy. If you were listening to Malloy the other night, you heard a beautiful breakdown of carnival barkers and so forth. As soon as Breitbart found out that other people knew what he was about, he canned him. Listen to the apology. This is precious. This is from Andrew Breitbart's site. Earlier this week, we read an online column which provided one of the most thorough and well-researched examinations of the many controversies surrounding former USDA employee Shirley Sherrod. We asked the author of the column for permission to reprint his article. Since publishing the articles, we have been made aware of other writings from this author. See above, no doctor in the world knows more about sexual pleasure than I do. Which do not reflect the principles and values of this site. Yeah, like Breitbart's got principles or values, please. He got caught. While we stand by the information contained in the articles we published, we do not wish to see the underlying issue confused or diminished by the other work, like the magic cancer bullet that the author has done. We regret the error. Got it. Because suddenly, Andrew Breitbart's come down with a bad case of the principles. Me? I'm thinking not so much. So that's just a smattering of where we have to go this evening. It's about 20 minutes before the hour. You are welcome to chime in with your thoughts if you are so inclined. You know the number here, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. On your nickel, 304-658-3333. Email comes into Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, at gmail.com. And can I just throw in, yeah, this would be a great time to hit the PayPal button. Thanks. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is the horn.
Oh, you're gonna take me home tonight. Oh, down beside that red firelight. Oh, you're gonna let it all hang out. Fat bottom girls, you make the rockin' world go round. Hey! I was just a skinny lad. Never knew no good from bad. But I knew life before I left my nursery. Left alone with big fat fatties. Was such a naughty nanny. Hey, big woman, you made a bad boy out of me. Hey, hey. I've been singing.
Distance dedication for Kevin Pezzi and Andrew Breitbart.
This is, of course, the Horn. It is Friday on the front porch as we wrap up the broadcast week with things that are on your mind, on my mind, any number of minds. There's a lot more stuff out there this evening. A little history lesson, a little reason to be glad you listened to the Horn. Don't let me forget, okay? Please don't let me forget. And let's make sure that I go ahead and do hit that I do hit this story. Email rolling in from Corey in Louisville, sincerely hoping not to be dead effing last in the Big East this year. Hey, if you saw the story breaking about the WVU Mountaineers and dirty old Rich Rodriguez and his dirty but somehow sort of Luther-esque successor, Bill Stewart, whom we refer to here as Coach Muley, because he's constantly got this look like that of a pole-axed mule when he's pacing the sidelines, wondering about what that clock up there is for. WVU may be whacked with some sanctions. So it may get, I don't know. You've got some hope, Corey. But anyway, Corey says, you think that the uneducated and proud of it crowd who make up the majority of the electorate really give a damn if Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, dropped out of college? The only thing they know or care about is that Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, cares about taking the country back and protecting the Second Amendment and the hell of the other 26. And he's against that liberal, socialist, communist Obamacare that the majority of the people are in need of medical care. And Medicare, of course, pays for in excess of 50% of Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist's lifestyle. But, you know, it's okay. I-O-K-I-Y-A. W, that stands for it's okay if you're a weirdo. Latest reputable polling in Kentucky shows Paul up 7 to 9 points, but with less than 50%. Corey says, I hope that at that fancy farm picnic this weekend, Jack Conway gets his act in gear, because there is a serious possibility that Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, will be adding the title of senator to his credentials. That's enough to sort of... Yeah, that's enough to ruin a perfectly good night's sleep. I'll have nightmares about that. Gee, thanks, Corey. To the phones we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Hey, Jim, what's up?
Well, all I can say is everything you ingest probably is illegal and moral, fattening, or hazardous to your health. And that's about the truth.
Yeah, my problem, and I acknowledge all of that, Jim, but my problem is that some is made deliberately more so for the sake of corporate profits. You know, high fructose corn syrup is one of those things that has no business in our lexicon, in our bodies, or in our recipes. I mean, you go through the grocery store, you can't buy a bottle of high fructose corn syrup. This is strictly an industrial substance, you know, kind of like, oh, I don't know, degreaser.
Well, I don't know. It's very hard to avoid a number of these things. I mean, all these artificial sweeteners, NutraSweet, the ones they used to use, the Tab and stuff like that.
Right.
All contraindicated.
Sure. And it goes all the way back. I think I mentioned it the other night. There was a substance called cyclamates.
Cyclamates, yes.
And it turned out that that was just, you know, cancer in a bottle.
Yeah, that was a component of Tab, I believe. By the way, this would interest you. You know, when you have certain procedures done, like MRIs, CAT scans, and things like that, a lot of times those things are sent by computer overseas to radiologists in India for interpretation.
And I have learned that lesson the hard way, Jim. That's the absolute truth. They had to read 3 separate CAT scans, CT scans, of my abdomen on 3 different dates before one of the radiologists looked and said, his innards don't look to be in the right place. And that was only on the 3rd one.
Oh, my God.
And they're not. It's a birth defect. It's called malrotated bowel. Not that anybody wanted to know that, but, yeah, I'm literally bass-ackwards inside my belly.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Sal. I really am. My God.
Well, I can tell I've made your Friday night, Jim.
I don't know what to say. I mean, I knew this
No, guy. I'm ass backwards, really. I mean, it's okay. I mean, I just am.
I knew this guy who had the, oh my God, what is the procedure called when they have to go in and take pictures of the lower bowels and things?
Oh, a colonoscopy?
Colonoscopy.
Otherwise known as the steel eel?
Yeah, and of course, he had obtained this type of videotape of it. And that fool would actually pop that videotape in and show it to people.
I'm not there yet. And look, this is my latest starring role in film. No, can't do it, Jim. Just can't do it.
First time he did that to me, I just said, well, listen, I really must be going, and I just took off.
Charming. Charmed, I'm sure. Got to be going. Dinner's late. Mom's calling. It's something.
Listen, you had mentioned something earlier about some type of sex thing or this, that, and the other. Are you familiar with this woman named Sue Johansson?
Don't think so.
Well, she had a program. I think she still does have a program. in which she talks about sex. And, you know, she puts out a lot of good information. She really does.
Dr. Ruth for 2010.
About STDs and things of that nature. And she has callers in. And then she has a special program, a section of her program, in which she demonstrates these sexual toys and rates them on what she calls the cool to hot briquette scale.
Oh, dear.
As to their efficacy.
Careful, Jim. You're going to make me break out the smelling salts.
Well, no, I don't think you're going to do that, Aunt Pity Pat. But anyway.
Third Gone with the Wind reference of the night.
Anyway, she would have these things on her program that were so involved. All these devices that were hooked up, and they were electrically charged and propelled and vacuumed.
Looked like something from Frankenstein's laboratory, yes.
I mean, by the
Tesla
time,
coils.
By the time a person would use these things, you would look like one of the Borgs in Star Trek.
Yeah, talk about resistance is futile.
And I thought to myself, my God, how in the world could you keep all this stuff straight? I mean, the program used to come on Sunday night. First they had it at 10 o'clock, they put it back at 1 o'clock because it got really spicy. And some of the questions that people would call in there and ask would absolutely blow your mind. Just incredible. Just incredible.
Well, you know, that's one of the byproducts of a puritanical culture, Jim. There are degrees of ignorance and misinformation out there that is shocking. I remember several years ago that story about the kids in Florida who were I think the girls were douching with Mountain Dew because it was said to prevent AIDS. And you just sit there and go, who started, who does what, huh? But there are levels of ignorance in this culture about sexuality and many other forms of pleasure that are absolutely stunning, and it goes right back to our puritanical roots.
I think one of the most humorous episodes of Roseanne was when they were trying to teach their daughters about the birds and the bees and how not to get pregnant, and they had mentioned a friend of John Goodman's who played Roseanne's husband, who would tell the girls all they had to do was just jump up and down. And so his daughter comes home from a date and played by Leslie Gorison, Lisa Gorison, the character of Becky.
Mm-hmm.
And she comes in and she says, well, I think I'm going to go upstairs and jump up and down. Of course, the lips of Jack Goodman's face. It's just incredible.
By the way, Ron and Raleigh updating for us, Jim. He says, sad to say, Sex Talk with Sue Johansson went off the air about 2 years ago. She was a wonderful lady in her late 60s. So somebody needs to, I don't know, maybe Andrew Breitbart was hoping to get this Kevin Pezzi guy to step up. Man, what a creep.
I mean, she put out a lot of good information. But then she would have this section in which she would bring out all these toys and things like I mentioned before. And some of them were so complicated and complex, it would take a NASA scientist to hook them up properly. And by that time, if you got to do that, I think it sort of killed the mood. And I think I'd rather watch TV. I just had my hair done, you know? No, Sue was a good woman. She really was. And I wasn't trying to disparage her in any way. And I enjoyed her show tremendously. But when some of the questions would come into that program and some of the stuff that people would ask, I thought, good Lord, where have they been? Who were they? Who are they? Who do they hope to be?
Fair questions all, Jim. Fair questions all.
Well, I thought, you know, I might mention Sue Johansson. But the program has been discontinued?
Yes, apparently so. She retired.
Well, bless her heart. She tried to do a lot of good things to help a lot of very, very uninformed people.
Lord knows there's plenty of those to work on in this country, I would suspect.
But going back to Ron Paul, I mean, I wonder, all right, the guy didn't finish college.
No.
Now, he had to take the MCAT to get in medical school.
Yes, he did. And the article does make mention of the fact that he did quite well on them.
Well, I'm not sure if you have to even graduate from college or something like that.
Truth be told, used to be you didn't.
Yeah, and basically the...
That doesn't change the fact that he dropped out of Baylor.
Well...
I mean, if you quit before you graduate, you have dropped out.
Well, that's it. That's true. But the MCAT is basically the gatekeeper for, I think, medical school.
Medical school admissions, exactly.
That's what I thought, too, because I used to give that test.
No, really?
Mm-hmm. LSAT, MCAT, GRE, stuff like that when I was education officer for the federal government.
I'll never forget the LSAT.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus. I've never seen so many bizarre analogies in my entire life. I think it may be why I'm able to do this program. George Washington's left big toenail is as to... Newtonian physics as what? And at that point, you can just mark anything.
Yeah, but only one or two were right or something like that. But some of the questions...
Yeah, I don't know how I snuck in.
Well, you know, they could be pretty incisive, but I, you know, would have to go over each and every test booklet to be sure that it wasn't compromised or anything like that, you know.
Right.
Look at some of the stuff and... I thought to myself, God Almighty.
And now in the current modern age, when I was running around the campus of Concord University back last month, I noticed, and it was one of those rooms where they were giving some sort of standardized test, great big sign saying, cell phones are not allowed in this room. If you are caught with a cell phone, you will be refused the test, and you will never be able to take it again, and you will wind up digging ditches. So, again, it's that whole better locksmith, better burglar thing. Somebody always going to cheat, Jim. Somebody always going to cheat.
You mean people were using cell phones to get answers? Or?
Oh, gosh, sure. Why not? I mean, you're sitting there, you got wireless internet, and you can look up the answer.
Well, oh, Lord, have mercy. See, that sort of thing never...
The romantic interest in Wuthering Heights was A, Garfield, B, Calvin, C, Snoopy, D, Heathcliff. You know. Oh, Heathcliff. Maybe it's Garfield. I don't know!
Well, I'm at a loss for words.
I understand. Jim, have yourself a wonderful weekend.
Likewise.
All right, take care. Bye now.
Good night.
It's our buddy Jim, and we will roll onward. You know the number, by the way, right? 877-443-2366, 877-4, head on your nickel, 304-658-3333, and we go forward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Well, good evening, Bishop Kincaid.
Well, hey, David, what's up?
Well, I have an amazing story for you, but first comes the pain. The pain. The stuff that we talked about earlier, all I have to do is read the first line, Bob, and you know where I'm going with this. Camden is preparing to permanently shut its library system by the end of the year, potentially leaving residents of the impoverished city among the few in the United States incapable to borrow a book free.
And this would be Camden, New Jersey?
Yes, Camden, New Jersey.
That should make the libertarians happy.
It goes on and it says, all materials in the libraries would be donated, auctioned, stored, or destroyed. That includes 187,000 books, historical documents, artifacts, and electronic equipment. And one resident who was named Gene Kepner says, they don't want to see our children grasp the future but go down the toilet. And she goes on and she says, they're talking about budget cuts and around different areas with this, with the budget of Camden. And she says, really, you can't find the money to leave any of these library systems open? And to me, the argument of saying, well, they're a poor community and we got to make some budget cuts, I don't think that, pardon the pun, I don't think it cuts it at all. I think if you can't leave one open, that's a really pathetic, sad example of leadership.
But you know what? There are large yes, and what you've brought to our attention, David, is a micro example of
right.
of a culture and a society and an economy gone completely sideways. How about I hit you with the macro version?
Yeah.
This was in Politico today with a stunningly bad photograph of Blanche Lincoln and her magic eyebrows. I can't tell if those are eyebrows or you know, woolly bear caterpillars over top of her eyes. God, that's an ugly. That is one ugly woman.
Or baby tribbles.
It's a man baby. Blanche Lincoln in the Agriculture Committee decided to put out a hit on the food stamp program. It's now called SNAP, S-N-A-P. Now, at the same time that we've recently found out that there are a record number of people hitting the food stamp program in the last month,
mm-hmm.
Blanche Lincoln, fiscal conservative and deficit worrier, in the Senate, she led the charge, as of yesterday, that approved state fiscal and child nutrition bills that helped pay for themselves, and that was, you know, that was necessary. Got to pay for the teacher, got to pay the teachers, got to pay, right, and child nutrition, the WIC program, things like that. But they did it by cutting $14 billion from food stamps, not $14 billion from the Pentagon budget. No, hell no. No. They cut, so I guess we're going to have nutritious children and starving parents? That's going to work out well. God almighty, this makes me crazy, David.
You know, Bob, it's so surreal. And for people saying, this is unprecedented to have the whole city, your whole library function shut down. They've been open since 1905.
That is so poisonously bass ackwards.
And I want to, and here's the other thing that just makes you go, wow. You want to talk about a disconnect in how to take care of a system such as this? There has to be a better way. One of the things I found shocking was this part where they say, even closing the libraries would be a pricey proposition. The libraries contain historically valuable materials, including phone books dating to the 1880s and newspapers on microfilm from the 1870s. If the library board chooses to save the microfilm, it would cost as much as $11,000 a year. And if the library cannot find a donor for all its books, it is considering renting 7 dumpsters for $6,230. It's a disconnect.
It's
a disconnect with society. It's a disconnect to our culture. And, you know...
Oh, you're right, David. And see, that's... You know, a few nights ago, Jim led us in a... an absolutely just methodical piece-by-piece breakdown of the Third Reich. And somewhere along the way, we made the observation that in order to be a Nazi, one need not be a snappy dresser and goose step and have the cute... And your average Hitler doesn't always have to have, you know, the goofy little Charlie Chaplin mustache. And this is another example of that, okay? A library throwing books in dumpsters is not a hell of a far cry from just piling them up in the middle of a field, burning them, and dancing around them.
I would substitute the word books for Camden's history.
There you go.
this, I mean, in the article, And they also talk about how the woman who said Camden doesn't deserve to have a library. She also is part of the reading program for children, and she's had 600 children this summer. So people, imagine this: they take away your libraries, and okay, a lot of people don't. I mean, the excuse is, well, a lot of people don't go to libraries. Well, it doesn't really matter because it creates a chain reaction in the community. Camden already has a bad criminal, activity going on in the town. They already have a high level of poverty. Why would you want to do this to people who, the homeless people, are just seeking some kind of escape?
But you know what? That's part of it. Because we can't have people coming in, poor people coming in out of the heat or the freezing cold to just sit there and read.
You know, there really isn't anything other to say on this story except the fact that it's just going to create a bad chain reaction. And even worse, more towns are going to look at that as an example and look at that as, you know, that might be a good solution. They were able to do the whole town. Why can't we do it here?
Right, and that's the whole thing. That's the thing, David. Whether you're shutting down your library or the balancing the budget on the backs of the food stamp program, you're getting it completely bass-ackwards. I don't mean you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Although I gotta suggest that I would, if the city of Camden insists upon doing this, I would suggest that they at least make the most out of it. Before they close, they need to invite all the religious fundamentalists and all the freaks into the library and tell them to gather up every book that they object to, and then everything else goes to the dumpster. And then invite the fundamentalists to have a book burning. So America can see that, in fact, we do, yes, amen, sweet Jesus, have book burners in America, and we have gotten to that, and we have reached that place, and they are like that. You know, just send out the notices to the teabaggers. They'll show up in droves.
Yeah, definitely on that. The amazing story, Bob, that I wanted to mention to you that I find inspirational, and I know it's one of those things where it all connects together. This has to deal with Mexico, and it's historical, Bob, because we're dealing with history on a scale that I'm sure everyone can listen, who's listening, can admire. I'll just say the headline: a long sealed tunnel has been found under the ruins of Teotihuacan chambers that seem to branch off, and it may hold the tombs of some of the ancient city's early rulers.
Oh, wow.
Experts say a tomb discovery would be significant because the social structure of Teotihuacan remains a mystery after nearly 100 years of archaeological exploration at the site. It goes on and talks about, they said last year they were digging after 8 months of excavation. They reached the roof of the tunnel last month. They lowered a small camera into the 12-foot-wide, 4-meter corridor, which had been carved out of the rock early in Teotihuacan's history, and got the first glimpse of the space that they say was intentionally closed off between AD 200 and 250. I think the tunnel was the central element, the main element around which rest of the ceremonial center was built. The camera showed the tunnel appearing to extend about 37 yards before it is blocked by a wall or mound. Now this is the exciting part. Well, it's already exciting. Ground penetrating scanner images found the tunnel extends beyond the blockage and ends in a large chamber that measures 10 yards on each side.
Oh, wow.
Almost directly beneath the temple.
Somebody book me a flight to Mexico City. Oh, this, well, you know what archaeology porn does to me, right?
Right. Just, oh. And I think all of us share that degree. I'm thinking, Bob, that maybe you need to reach out to the archaeologist who announced this to the news, Sergio Gomez, and see if you can get a report, because apparently this is, so far they say they found 50,000 objects of jade, stone, shell, and pottery digging.
And you know, right. jade stone was sacred to those peoples.
Right. Right. Yeah. And they have 2 more months before they can enter the tunnel. So, you know, Bob, what I'm thinking is maybe you could reach out to Sergio Gomez and he would be willing to share a little bit more in depth other than what the mainstream.
Well, shoot me shoot me the link to the story and.
No problem. I'll try to send you photos and.
Yeah, and I in turn will try to find this guy and see if we can find out a little bit more. This is just absolutely fascinating.
And
by the way, for people who love archaeological stories like this,
yeah.
we have a listener, and I'm having a hard time calling his name to mind immediately, but I know he writes over at an archaeology based website,
mm-hmm.
and I'm trying to find out. Doggone it. Frustrating. I know it's Mud Brick, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about archaeology. And now I can't find it right on the fly, but if you dig around you might find it. It is awesome. Just an awesome archaeology blog.
Well worth it. Close out Friday with that that story that I think should have got a little bit more coverage in the news. And when I read it, and when you look at the pictures, Bob, it's gonna blow you away, because in 2 months, people, they'll be entering that tunnel, and then that's when they start traveling to see if they can get under the Sun Pyramid, and then who knows what's gonna be in that tomb. But it's already signs are pointing to that this is a pretty big discovery.
It'll be amazing. Of course, I imagine if there were... Because by the time that the Mexica nations and the Toltec or the other nations of the Triple Alliance arose, you know, and that was like around 1100-1200 AD,
right.
Those sites were old and mysterious and thought to have been built by giants. So that if there is a burial chamber down there, it may well have been rifled, but we never know, and it'll be exciting to find out. David, have yourself a wonderful weekend. I look forward to seeing the story.
All right, Bob. Later.
All right. See ya. Bye. Email coming in from Maura, noting, subject line just says Camden. And Maura says Camden is mostly populated by black folks. Enough said? Yeah, enough said, sadly. Who needs libraries so that, Jesus, I don't even want to finish. Sometimes the sarcasm is just, no, I'm just not up for it. David in Tennessee writing, and he says, as the original home of Campbell's Soup, Camden was a fine place to live and work up through the 50s. Then the pursuit of cheap labor took many of those jobs away. You've seen that movie several times before. That fat pig of a new Republican governor, Chris Christie, is all in favor of this sort of thing. His recently successful election was based on hard choices New Jersey must make. He's made sure no state money could possibly go to Camden, and he revels in such measures. Well, note from Kate out on the desert. The smells of institutional racism keep the Negroes ignorant. If the city isn't predominantly black, then it also fits that book burning is the next step down the slope. How much longer will the center hold, Sorry, Kate, she says, I can't listen anymore. My stomach is churning, jaws are tight, brain shorting out. Can hardly stand the image of the library going into dumpsters. I know the feeling. Back to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Sandra.
Hey, listen, so, that Google Verizon thing, hello.
Yeah, that's a little creepy.
Well, not only is it a little creepy, but it's just kind of, there's a lot of hand-wringing going on, you know, people trying to deny it, and, because it's a huge deal, because, let's face it, they're dying to have it go the way of cable, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I mean, for us, Americans, that's what's so disturbing about it, because if you go to other countries, oh my God, it's so much faster, because government, oh no, is a bit more involved, right? It's so much faster in England, it's hella fast in the Scandinavian
countries. Oh, what are the up and down speeds in Japan?
Yeah,
ridiculous.
Japan, I was about to say, it's crazy. And we're so slow because it's yet again another monopoly. And I always get so angry because in my econ classes, they always talked about competition. It was nonstop. But then you look in the real world and like, well, no, there ain't nothing but massive monopolies in this country. And, you know, the econ departments are just lying or they're disconnected or who knows. But it really pisses me off because the monopoly, it makes everything stagnant. As we can see, as a consumer, we can't even get decent connections. And now they want to stratify it. They're desperate to. And that's a big problem. I didn't realize this.
And that's part of their grand marketing strategy, isn't it?
Well, no, but I looked it up. You realize that 77% of the population has access to the Internet now in the U.S., and that's like a 30% increase from 2000. So, you know, it's a ginormous market for these companies, and yet again, it's these cable and phone companies getting in between us and something that was created by the goddamn government. I mean, it just pisses me off so much because, see, I don't give a hell about cable and all that. It's gone, too bad. And radio. But, you know, this Internet thing here.
Yeah, this matters.
No, this is important because, obviously we know why it's important. I mean, your situation that you have wouldn't even be possible because the fact that everything's on an even keel. You know, I can connect to, head on at any time knowing that it's going to be delivered in the same way as if I want to go to NBC. And it's like, I don't think about it. I don't even go to these huge networks. I have my own bookmarks. You know how it is.
Sure.
And I go where I want to knowing that I can get there unless something happens to the particular site, but not because some gatekeeper is saying, unless I pay or unless they pay Democracy Now, then I can't get a good look anymore.
Right. And you started out talking about the Google-Verizon deal. The idea that they walked out of talks that were already secret at the FCC and then just made a separate piece?
Well, that court case that kind of knocked the FCC out, and at the same time this freak won't use his authority to reestablish or re-regulate broadband. And you have to ask, well, why haven't you done that already? The court said one thing, and you have the authority to re-regulate it and take it out from under. But they won't do that. What they do is have secret meetings with corporations again, just like the banks, just like oil. See what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
And people have been freaking out, so they've suspended these backdoor meetings. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
And the public is a bit, you know, people are up in arms. And it's understandable because at this point, after banks, after the oil, a lot of people are now quite aware of what it means. You see what I'm saying? I mean, it's one thing.
Yeah, and if you'll pardon me saying so, Sandra, and I'm not trying to run too far afield from the topic, but I can see very easily this whole WikiLeaks thing developing into a grand excuse for the federal government to, because remember Joe Lieberman talking about the presidential kill switch a month or so ago? Remember that?
Yeah.
I can see the government taking this WikiLeaks case and using it as an excuse to do a national security clampdown that will play right into the hands of these providers.
Well, not only that, but Lawrence Lessig, who, you know, that sort of copyright lawyer, you've heard of him, right?
Oh, yes.
He made the mistake, or whatever, he was doing a talk, he admitted that there's an iPatriot Act waiting. See what I'm saying? There's no conspiracy. There is already, like, a Patriot Act, but it's for the Internet, on the shelf. So, you know, you have to wonder if, this whole cyber shit they're coming out with, and next thing you know, Facebook goes away, and they say, oh, no, we must enact X, Y, and Z. Like the Patriot Act, you know, it took me a minute, and I realized that, oh, they already had that shit written, because nothing like that could have been passed in 6 weeks, right?
No, No.
Okay, so, and that was like my wake-up call. You know, I was, you know, laboring in the world of the naive. And it wasn't that I said, oh, shit. And that was when I really started paying attention to bills and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, wow, this is some deep shit. But they also have the same setup for this internet. I believe that. And Lawrence Lessig, yeah, you know, he's a fairly reputable source. And I'm thinking, he probably didn't want that to come out.
No. And now you've got, I mean, did you see the New York Times and Washington Post stories today about the whole WikiLeaks thing?
No. What? You mean the whole sort of drumbeat about how horrible it is and how it needs to be reined in?
Oh, no. This is the Pentagon getting real pissy. Headline from the Washington Post. Pentagon demands that WikiLeaks give back leaked reports and not post others.
Well, they can demand all they want. I mean, the thing about the servers and the, you know, it's like, well, how are these? It's almost another non-state actor.
Yeah.
It's not regulated by governments, which is another question altogether. But, I mean, it's interesting. But I think it does present a problem, what you're saying, which, and not to be too critical of WikiLeaks, but I'm sort of like, they, you know, letting it out that Bin Laden is still alive, and that made me fisheye the whole thing. I'm sorry.
For good reason.
I'm sorry, I don't know about this shit. See, and that's just because I don't trust none of this. I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute. Are you kidding me? So,
Yeah, 6'7", white robes, portable dialysis machine, cave, still around.
Yeah, I'm kind of fisheyeing that. And so it makes me wonder about WikiLeaks and also... what's his name? He's so translucent and weird. I'm like...
Julian Assange?
Yeah, I'm like, what is this? Who's paying you? Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe Assange is some sort of a nativist translation of a last name, and it's somebody, Winter. It looks like the love child of Edgar Winter to me.
Right. And don't get me wrong. I mean, that information... It's good that it came out, no matter how redundant they try to say it is, because it's not for the majority of Americans saw that. That was huge news for a second. So at least it made people step back.
But you know what? I don't think there was anything in it, you know, as far as, you know, we here on the Horn, 7 miles out in front of the curve, there was nothing in there we didn't know. Oh, really? We're killing civilians and covering up the vast numbers of civilians we're killing? How about that?
And also the way the American press, you know, they homed in on the Pakistani, you know, treachery. But it's like, hello, they don't give a F. We may be gone. They gotta remain there.
The whole story today turns on comments by Pentagon Press Secretary Jeff Morrell.
Pinhead is that?
Well, I find it interesting that the Pentagon has a secretary who's named after a mushroom. You know, lives in the dark, fed nothing but shit, and, well, that's how it is with mushrooms. Jeff Morrell, we're asking them to do the right thing and not further exacerbate the damage done today. Because, you know, now it's all WikiLeaks' fault.
No, not to shoot the messenger. I know what I'm saying. It's like, I think people are a little bit more sophisticated than that, unless they don't want to hear the message. And keep in mind that WikiLeaks also released the CIA... psyops about how we need to focus on Europe to keep their population from not protesting the war. I mean, they had a whole operation, and that was released a few months back, and I thought that was well interesting. So, you know, they've been sort of coming fast and furious.
Well, the one that laid me low, though, the pull quote out of this one that just made me spit coffee on my screen, was this paragraph. No one at the Pentagon has been contacted by anyone purporting to speak on behalf of WikiLeaks, Morrell said. He added that defense officials are not interested in reviewing the classified material with the group. Quote, we're not getting involved in harm minimization conversations. We're asking them to return stolen property. And I screamed. I hollered. I homered. Because the stolen property? Excuse me? when the war you're running has from the very first day been an illegal war, and every step taken inside it is an illegal step, every action taken is an illegal act, then complaining about stolen property?
Yeah, no, no, no. I mean, that's the thing. It's just sort of any kind of complaints they have about WikiLeaks is just minimal compared to what's at stake. I think that we've been sheltered so long from the evil that we're doing that people are sort of in shock that the information can be provided to us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just bizarre. It's like, wait a minute.
Well, it's also upside down priorities.
Well, yeah, that's right. Yeah, basically, exactly. That's the thing. It's sort of, wait a minute, I don't give a care about the delivery of it. I'm just grateful to know more about what the hell our government is involved with, you know?
Right. Stop acting like our principles and aims and goals and objectives over there are somehow ennobled by virtue of the fact that we've changed strategy to one degree or another.
Well, anyway, but I sort of, you know, I'm kind of well concerned about the internet, and it's like, weren't we told by Obama nonstop that, you know, net neutrality forever, tomorrow and forever, right?
Yeah, as long as wind blows and grass is green and water's wet, you know that.
Right. Once again, there's nothing coming out of the White House, sort of like with the Prop 8 thing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm just a bit concerned. I'm going to follow the story, but I do think that, there's a fair amount of outrage at the prospect of this, but because the FCC, they're acting funny, you know?
You'd almost think Michael Powell was still there.
Hey, it's just sort of stunning, but, piggybacking on, was that, was his name David?
Yeah.
Listen, that library story, and I don't know if you saw that whole article in the New York Times, just sort of breaking down other counties and cities and some of the extreme measures they're taking now.
Yeah, I did see that.
I mean, it's just incredible. No buses?
Yeah. No buses, no libraries, no fire departments, lights.
Police department. I mean,
this has gone past Boulder, Colorado, not being able to mow its grass.
Oh, no, but, it just reminds me of, like, it's just making me think about how the fire department used to be, where you would have some sort of signage on your house, meaning that you paid the fee, and if your shit was burning and you hadn't paid a fee, well, they just kind of went right by. I mean, you know. It's,
yeah, that was always troubling to me because once the place is engulfed in flames, how can you tell if the dues are paid?
Well, exactly. Not only that, but probably the reason why that system evolved pretty quickly was, well, what about when the shit burns your house next door? You see what I mean?
Right.
It's not practical not to have.
It's community-based problem solving is what it boils down to, and what these teabaggers and libertarians and deficit hawks and whatever you want to call them are all oblivious to is the idea is the fact that sooner or later they are, whether they like it or not, they are going to find themselves members of the community, and they will not, it'll be inescapable. Did you see the Krugman column today? He peeled that I've got it right here, that creepy little bastard from Wisconsin, Ryan. He peeled Paul Ryan like a grape.
Oh yeah, no, that was a really interesting article. You mean the I mean, but he seems, yeah, it's good because he's hitting these deficit freaks pretty hard and liars. I mean, the Ryan guy, that's an idiot. It ain't make no sense what he's talking about.
I get the sense reading Paul Krugman lately, Sandra, that he's getting kind of strident.
Well, no. I think that, you know, it's like it's time for,
because stuff is hitting the fan.
Yeah, it's time for serious people to get serious. You know what I mean? I don't. And another person that's been just blowing it up lately is Bob Herbert. Not that he hasn't been, But I think his shit is getting well read. I'm looking at the comments; it's growing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and there at this point, this is hollering from the rooftop stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
because if this, you know, if this Ryan creep gets away with anything. We're talking about a massive screwing. I mean, nobody, you know, he's out there lying, saying that the Congressional Budget Office is, oh, this will save us $50 million, and telling a lie to the American people, when in fact the CBO didn't score the whole thing. They were just asked to answer a question. But Krugman says that the Nonpartisan Tax Policy Center has stepped into the breach, and it turns out... The Congressman Ryan Geek's idea would where's the number, because it just blew me away. The Ryan plan would cut taxes on the richest 1% of the population in half.
In half, yeah.
And they would get, and I you know, when I saw the number, I shook my head. They would get 117% of the plan's total tax cuts. Krugman says that's not a misprint. Even as it slashed taxes at the top, the plan would raise taxes for 95% of the population.
Well, of course it will. I mean, this whole notion, which is a problem that they had in Europe and they're having here, is that the rich refuses to pay taxes or the government won't collect, but the people still want the services, so the governments are left to borrow. So they borrowed and borrowed and borrowed, and now they're in the situation they're in, and the rich are going to, like, fight tooth and nail to avoid the taxation now. I mean, it's a Pandora's box. But the state is in the position of taxing. That is part of the mandate to have a damn state. Otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah.
And also, the rich people, there's been a lot of articles about the decoupling of the rich from the rest of us. And it's just like...
They're going to take their little train engine and go home?
And what the hell are they going to do? I mean, it's just, to me, the whole conversation is this sort of scare tactic. Like, we're supposed to be worried if the rich are taxed. I mean, all we're talking about is raising the up to Clinton, the marginal tax rate up to the Clinton era, which is like 5%.
Right, and like we said the other night, I want to see their tax rate go back to their buddy Reagan's.
I say Kennedy, 70. And I say
I'll see your Kennedy and raise you an Eisenhower, 91.
No, seriously, at least to Reagan at this point, because let's be honest, they've made it out quite well, but we're now supposed to, what, decimate the flimsy safety net so these rich people cannot pay any taxes? I'm confused. The whole policy is so destabilizing.
It's denationalizing. It is denationizing.
Well, no, but you have the global elite, you know, and it really is sort of global. They're able to sort of float above, so to speak, and do whatever the hell they want, and we're at the tender mercies of Gates and these other people making pacts to give away their money. Oh, thank you, thank you. You know what I'm saying? I want to operate like that. We're sitting around praying that the rich is going to, be benevolent? Come on. Isn't that why we had a revolution here?
You would think. You know, when I saw that number in that New York Times article from April 30th, you know, that the Corn Refiners Association had dumped $30 million into trying to get people to think that poison was good for them.
Mm.
And you think, the Corn Refiners Association is basically made up of Archer Daniels Midland and the whoever those other two companies were.
Cargill is probably.
Yeah, and they've got $30 million laying around, just laying around.
Stunning.
Right, and of course, if you attack them, their last tranche is, yeah, but we get jobs. But they've got $30 million laying around. Well, what?
Yeah.
How much are those jobs paying? I guess is what I'm asking.
No, the thing is that, you know, listen, if someone could just basically start with trying to explain to folks that there's a difference between household budgets and the government. I swear to God, people think it's the same. And it's Right.
Well, you can't write hot checks. Neither can the government. It's not the same.
But they, you know.
You can't print money either, but the government can.
Right. And the people don't even, I don't think people understand even that basic concept. So when you talk about the government spending, this is what they see. They see, well, I have to balance my checkbook. They should, too. Not having any economic inclination about what's going on, and they like it that way because they can just, yeah, it's incredible.
Well, because it feeds into the rights, the bumper sticker politics mentality.
Yeah.
You have to balance your budget. Why doesn't the government? You know, you can get that on a bumper sticker.
No, and it's just sort of, and it's really disturbing because, you know, you get to the Christopher Hedges mentality of, well, these people are scared because they've been wiped out economically, so they turn to, you know, the fundies and the other freaks. You know what I mean? It's all tied in together, but I do think the inability for people to just have basic economic understanding is just bad these days. It's horrific.
Indeed. Indeed.
But anyway, I was going to ask you something else that was sports related, right quick before I go. Oh, that's right. So what do you think of the, because it's a football game this weekend, right?
Yeah.
I know you must be excited. Don't lie.
It's that time. I know.
But anyway, T.O., what do you think of that madness? T.O. and Chad.
You know what? I'm not as hard on Chad and the rest of them because I've heard that there's a, if you ever hear ESPN radio, I can't remember the guy's name, but he's just this unrepentant racist who has attacked him and attacked him and attacked him.
Colin Cowherd, that right wing pig?
Yeah, is that, yeah, yeah.
That's him. He went off on what's his name? Chad, is it Ocho Cinco?
Yeah.
Yeah, he went, but he blew his ass up. Yeah, I know about that story.
And so, you know, T.O. kind of acts like an ass, but...
Yeah, but T.O. ain't, you don't never hear T.O., he ain't no Ben Roethlisberger, he ain't no Mike Vick, he don't get into trouble.
Right, that's the thing.
You know, T.O. just is all about T.O., but it's entertainment. He ain't in jail. He ain't doing that bullshit. So I always laugh. I think, oh, I don't know what their problem is with him. They got bigger problems in the NFL. Like, my favorite, that guy at the Washington Redskins who can't run a mile or whatever he's supposed to do.
can't do it like on three separate occasions. Right.
Haynes?
Yeah, Albert Haynesworth.
That fool, but you know what? He got his $20 million. He's like, yepa, you know? And people are freaking out on the radio about it. They're so upset that this Negro and got paid. Now he's sitting on his fat ass.
What's the latest? Is little Timmy Jebo still holding out, or did he sign?
No, he signed. Oh, yeah. He signed a few, yeah. Yeah, I think he's all locked away.
Probably a few donations for his mom and daddy's hustle up there in Colorado Springs, and yeah.
I know, but see, apparently, I guess they're having a lot of problems now because they got a lot of injuries. You know, that's the team, I hope they lose every game.
Oh, Denver?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's easy. The minute they drafted little Timmy Jebo, done.
I didn't like that coach anyway last year either.
Oh, no, he's a, no, he's.
I don't like him.
I think his rise or fall will be predicated on Tim Tebow.
Oh dear God!
But you know what? He may be saved solely on the fact that Tim's selling jerseys.
I guess he is, isn't he? I'm sure that jersey is
the number one selling piece of NFL merchandise. Tim Tebow's jersey.
Really? Well, listen, I'm trying to figure out how the 49ers are going to be and the Raiders, because the Raiders did some really good, believe it or not, trade moves in the offseason, you know?
Yeah, but the Wraith Al Davis is still there, Sandra. I mean,
I understand, but they did cut loose that freak, the cough serve guy.
Yeah.
And they got, what's his face, who used to be the quarterback for the Redskins. God, I can't, my name, all the names are escaping me today. Sorry about
but,
that.
Well, I'm a little distracted because I took Ferg, well, like I said, he's injured and he's more or less out for the season, but I stopped and picked up. Stopped and picked up the daily paper on the way home.
Yeah.
And on the front page, not the front page of the sports section, but on the front page of the Charleston Gazette today, NCAA, and you think, oh, no. And then you see a picture of our hapless head coach, and then the picture of Rich Rodriguez before the plugs grew in.
Oh, God. You need to stop. You really don't like that fool, huh?
I'm less now because headline, and I mean, you know, this is, you know, almost, you know, World War II ends, you know, the banner headline, NCAA, WVU committed major violations. And I just, oh, no. And so I start reading and I find out that, yeah, most of it happened during Rich Plugriguez's reign, but once he left, Coach Christian Muleface, otherwise known as Luther, continued doing it, and it all had to do with dummied up assistant. Graduate assistants and assistant athletic, well, you get the idea.
Well, what's the penalty?
Well, we don't know. But anyway, Muley continued doing it for 2 years, Sandra.
Wow. Well, no, but see, that Rodriguez, though, you know, you may not have to. He may be gone if they can't beat Ohio State. So I ain't, you know, I'm looking at that thinking your ass might be bound.
Oh, and by the way, David writing in, he says, yeah, the other T.O. hater is Merrill Hodge.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, he says he's the player that had to quit the game because of concussions. And he never misses a chance to blast T.O. David says, I put some of his rants down to scrambled egg brains.
Shut up. No, I don't, you know. Yeah, I think, you know, T.O. is amusing. Plus, last year when he played, not a peep. He didn't make a peep.
No, just played the game.
Played the game and moved on. It's just like they got some, you know, some crazies in the NFL. I think T.O. is nothing compared to some of these criminals that are playing.
Oh, yeah. Who's the guy at Dallas? Well, that's kind of an open-ended question, isn't it?
Yeah.
I saw it in my email. The probably a couple of weeks back. More fun with the Jerry Jones traveling circus.
What about that stadium he has? That makes a bit over the top, isn't it?
The Jones Mahal?
Yeah, just like, dude, I didn't realize it was so over the top. Jesus.
Oh, it is. Well, you know, and again, as I've been beaten on for a couple of years now, with the largest on-site fan prison in the NFL. Not joking.
Wow. That's right.
Yeah, we have to build stadiums in them. No, we have to build stadiums with prisons in them now.
Oh, my God, that is hilarious. But you know what? I have to say, now I know, who's the coach of Alabama? Is that Saban, right?
Yeah. Oh, and it's Dez Bryant. It's Dez Bryant.
Oh, Dez Bryant. What happened to him?
All I got from David was Dez Bryant. He'll follow up.
Did he have some run-in with the law?
I'm looking here real quick. I can't. I'll have it in a minute from Dave. Let's see. Oh, there it is. Yeah, that's the one. Back July 26, 2010. Headline, Dez Bryant refuses chores of lowly rookie.
Oh, that's right. He won't carry that loser's shoulder pad.
Yeah, it's a tradition at training camps for vets to make the rookies carry their pads.
Yeah, but he's competing against him. I don't blame him, actually. I think it's hilarious.
But you know, it's Jerry's little zoo.
Oh, my God. Well, no, I just was thinking about that Nick Saban, because I know people have attitudes with him, but he's, like, come out with some interesting interviews lately talking about, you know, sort of more in support of the players than any other coach I've heard in a while. He was sort of calling out these agents who...
Well, I mean, he took it on the chin last year over that one. Again, names are escaping me.
Yeah.
So,
no, I don't know, but I just admit he just sounds like he's looking out. Unlike some of these people. But I mean, I know he's a bit of a prima donna. But I was surprised to hear a coach actually step up.
Well, I guess with the national championship last year, he crossed the $5 million mark, didn't he?
Oh, shut up! Well, that's down there. That's the
religion, football, religion,
yeah,
same.
Your state, where did you know that? If as low as $4,000, you have to pay a state tax on that income.
Yes.
Bob, did
yes.
you know that?
Yes. Alabama has the most brutal, punitive state income tax in the entire United States, and the lowest real property taxes. So you can have 4,000 acres of pulp pine timberlands, and wind up paying less taxes than the guy who makes $4,000 a year.
Oh, no. I mean, you know, I'll let you go, but there's a whole subject we can get into about the rentier, you know, taxes on land versus tax on labor, which is what we're subjected to.
Well, see, that's not to run off into the, and you were such a great help when the whole thing blew up, but, you know, I'm finding out it seems like I keep getting tax tag title and dealer prep added to this septic situation. I found out today. You know, we had figure X, which was going to be the final figure, you know, $7,000. And he goes, of course, there will be 6% tax on that.
Oh, man.
And what?
Yeah.
And
no, that's incredible. Wow. And what kind of tax is that? What are they calling it? They always have a name.
No, that's sales tax. That's just straight up sales tax.
Wow.
And so, well, you know, I ran in, grabbed the calculator, you know, punched in, well, let's see, 7,000 times 0.06 equals, you know, $420 extra.
Mm. Right. I mean, that's, you know.
You know, I should have taken the wad to Vegas at this point, I'm thinking.
Oh, no. You don't want to do that. That's a mistake, but I hear what you're saying. Oh, my God. Yeah, but you're on top of that situation, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, no. I mean, no. We raised five large, and I got to scramble. I got to scramble up, you know.
Yeah, the rest.
Yeah. Because I thought that was what everybody said. That's what it's going to cost. And so I called the guy. Yeah, that's what it's going to cost. And then the county guy and he start talking together, and they start looking over at me, and I start feeling like a pigeon.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's getting funner and funner and funner, but he's got all the money thus far, so I don't know. I'll go down to the basement and start printing or something.
Oh, God. Well, yeah, exactly. Jesus. Well, anyway, I'll let you go, so have a good weekend.
All right, you too. Enjoy the game.
I will.
See you, Sandra. Bye now. And onward we go. Okay, no. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Brother Bob.
Hey, what's up, Cossack?
Not much. Yourself?
Yeah, you know, sweating.
God, not dislike.
Yeah, not, well, from the weather and from circumstance as well, so that makes it extra fun.
Yeah. I'm kind of... And a little bit different, but I'm sweating it as well.
I know the feeling.
They found out today that both my carotids are over 50% blocked.
Ooh! Are you having those window shade things happening, or?
I've had some PIAs. Other interesting things. I'm doing fine except I've got the body of a 100-year-old.
Yeah, you're that old lawyer joke in reverse.
Yeah, I mean, what happened?
Everything just falls apart?
Yeah, and kind of suddenly there. It was kind of a real shock there.
Yeah, you go in to get your tires rotated, and you come out with a new engine block.
Yeah.
Or actually, the bill for the new engine block.
Exactly, and that's basically what it feels like. Now, the more they look, the more interesting so-called things they find. I'm not really all that interested in what they're finding.
Yeah, you sort of hold on tight.
Yeah. This is going to be fun and games, but... everybody is sweating. By the way, the Haynesworth is being an idiot. Sorry.
You are a Redskins fan. That's right. I forgot.
I are. Yes, I are. And I really think that Haynesworth was one of the biggest mistakes that Snyder made.
Well, if I understand a little bit of history of Albert Haynesworth because he came from the Titans, and David in Tennessee is a diehard fan. And Albert puts out in contract years.
Yeah, exactly. And when he got $21 million just for walking in one day and picking up a check, and that's the only time he showed up, it really doesn't endear him to the rest of the team, especially there are a lot of veterans like London Fletcher, who have been around a long time.
Yeah, and have the sweat equity in.
Yeah, and they've proven their chops, time and again. And true, Haynesworth is a big guy when he's in there. That's the key phrase, though, when he's in there.
Right.
Call me an old fart, but I kind of like the guys back in the old days. You remember Dick, what's his name? I can see his face and I can't remember his name. Anyway, he was the nose tackle back in the Super Bowl years for the Redskins. Dick Butts. Huge man. And he would just stand up and grab three people and shove them back. He did this every single time.
Those were the Redskin glory days that I don't know if Daniel Snyder will ever see him.
No. I mean, Snyder, his heart's in the right place and his head isn't.
Now, we know where his head is.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, with the, I'm so bummed out for the boy, Ferg, screwing up his arm and his knees screwed up. And the funny thing, you want to talk about, I mean, I think maybe some of those pep talks went a little too deep. He was, running his drills on that knee, and he was out running some of the other people doing it with his knee like that. As a father, I sort of sit there and go, oh, I feel terrible now.
Yeah. But remember back when you were that age.
Oh, yeah. And so he will be absolutely impossible, and the trick here is to get him deeply into the into the clipboard side of the game, and hopefully, because there's a lot of learning to be done there.
Okay. It's fun playing the game, and you can stop playing the game very suddenly.
Yeah, or you can play it, and this is the more disturbing part of it, and it gives me pause in sending my son into it. But basically he's trying to build a high school resume for getting into college, hopefully. But the other thing is, you can play it with no ill effects and find yourself crippled at 45.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Or earlier.
So naturally, as soon as I read that report, it was like being kicked in the chest. It's like, oh no. Because it didn't say torn meniscus, it said seriously torn meniscus. So I'm hoping there's no little chunks floating around in his knee or anything. That's hope.
Me too. All I can say is the treatments are much better now than they were.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the dark ages. Oh, God. I mean, that's how I stopped playing football. My kneecap suddenly went from the top of my knee to the side of my knee.
I watched that happen to Agnes one day, and it was not a fun day.
No. This jackass decided that his helmet made a very good implement and smacked me in the knee and tore the cap off. And actually, I was a halfway decent running back up to that point.
And it all ends very, as you know, precipitously.
Yeah.
And, this is a little school. There's maybe 30 kids on the squad. So there's a lot of concrete Charlie going on, playing both ways, you know.
Uh-huh.
Iron Man ball, yeah.
No, that will cheer you up eventually.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, sometimes it's a big injury, but sometimes, you know, I've known a lot of these ex-football players after their glory year. And they're virtual cripples at 45 or 50. They've had, you know, dozens of operations to their joint. They've had parts replaced. And they're just barely mobile. And a lot of these people didn't make the multi-gazillion dollar salary charges. You know, they made very good money for very limited number of years. And most of them burned it up on the way out.
Too true. Too true.
You know, that's the unfortunate thing that happens. People, I have a hard time even wrapping my head around the concept of having $11 million and then having nothing. Just, you know, even having $1 million and then ending up on the street is somewhat inconceivable, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
To normal human beings.
Yeah, that's where you start whistling, you know, the brother, can you spare a dime? You know, once I had a railroad, made it run.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, these people had much more than a railroad.
Oh, I know. I'm painting with a broad brush for general purposes.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. But you know, we don't realize how many people. You know, we know the start. You know, we know people like Sonny Jurgen, people like Sammy Huff, people who are Hall of Famers. You know. But imagine the thousands of guys that went out there, essentially, this game was their job, and they made good money for a couple of years, and then they can't make money at all anymore because they can just barely perambulate.
Yeah, and then it's another one of those cases where the NFL has not been there. They fell down on the big time. But that's the NFL. Look at what happens when you get, you're a redshirt sophomore and you get crippled. Well, in some programs, the scholarship stays there for you. In some programs, you're done. Don't even finish the education.
Exactly.
So,
it's a lottery. And what gets me is the number of kids especially poor kids who actually believe that sports is going to save them. And it does for one in how many hundreds of thousands? How many million?
Yeah.
And yet, every single one of them knows that they're going to be the next Michael Jordan or
Tim Tebow.
Oh, God. I want to see him play.
Oh, I do, too. I'll do what I can to, you know, please, Jeebus, you know, let there be some Denver preseason games on. I so want to see Tim Tebow back there with that slew-footed running of his, and you know that weird ass throwing motion. I want to see his behavior when a big mean defensive end or a fleet-footed safety is blitzing. You know, and I'm not talking about these safeties and defensive ends that little Timmy Tebow played at St. Mary's College for the blind and one-legged. No, I want real NFLers coming at him. And I want to see if he spits out his mouthpiece and starts praying. See, I'm just mean that way.
Well, what I want to see is.
I want the scene. Look, okay, here it is. I want the scene from MASH, the movie. I'm ready to go in, Coach. I'm going to run the 40. Sit down. That's what I want.
I want to see him actually thrown into a game, hopefully against the Raiders.
Well, see, that's you. You want to see him thrown into a game. I want to see him thrown into the bleachers.
Well, that's the thing. I want him to play Oakland in Oakland and, you know, see what he looks like after all those cleats go running over him.
Wonder if he'll make that Charlie Brown noise.
Ah!
Hey, Cossack, you have yourself a great weekend, my friend.
You too, Bob.
All right, take care. Bye now. It's that time of year. You know. You're going to have to deal with some sports talk. But, see, I guess we're fortunate in one regard, or you're fortunate, if you can call it fortunate. I had planned to be taking Friday nights off for a few weeks here to attend Ferg's games, and I probably still will take a few off just to, sort of bolster the team spirit kind of thing. You know, I'm a dad. So be prepared for that. But at any rate, we are at the top of the hour and need to take a little bit of break. You know the phone number, 877-443-2366. If you want to get in on the conversation, you're more than welcome. On your nickel, 304-658-3333. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn. We'll be back.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
9 minutes past the hour as we continue to cram 6 hours of programming into 3 hours of Friday on the Front Porch. And before heading back to the phones, which I am sincerely going to do, I just wanted to share something with you before I forgot. Just to sort of put a capstone, if you will, on the whole Cordoba House, otherwise known as Muslim YMCA, issue in New York City. You know, the building that's not a mosque, even though people on our side of the discussion still insist on calling it that because, well, you know, our side, we're not real good with the messaging and framing. But I know. This is one of those things that makes me feel really, really good about some of the things the Horn does. If you were listening to the PRISM lectures, the history lectures from the campus of Concord University last month that were brought about by the good offices of our dear friend Dr. Bill O'Brien, you would have heard one of those experts, and I can't remember which one it would be, but the... It's all archived, so one way or the other. You would have heard one of them address the idea of religious tolerance and religious freedom, which it was noted were two distinctly separate concepts. Tolerance, toleration, religious toleration means that the dominant religious form allows practitioners of other religions to exist at their sufferance, at the majority's sufferance. Whereas religious freedom is an idea that everyone shall be free, literally, to practice religion as they see fit and that the state will not get in the middle of it. Well, none other than George Washington addressed himself to this issue. In 1790, he was inquired of by the Jewish community in Newport, Rhode Island. Because no matter where on earth Jewish people have landed, they have tended to be abused, victims of bigotry, racism, and violence, and understandably nervous. So an inquiry was put to George Washington, and he wrote a letter to the Jewish community in Newport, Rhode Island in 1790.
He was writing on religious freedom, not religious tolerance, but religious freedom. And he said these words, and the reason I was so tickled to see this popped up, this quote popped up at Think Progress a couple of days ago. But you, if you're listening to the horn, and if you were listening to that lecture series, you would have already been about 7 miles out in front of the curve, which is where the horn lives. And you would have known that this is the natural response to these right-wing goober-headed freaks who are wetting their pants about a Muslim YMCA where people can go, where Muslim people can go and do their stair-stepping, climber, ski thingy, Nordic tracker, whatnot, over lunch. George Washington wrote, "The citizens of the United States of America have a right to applaud themselves for giving to mankind examples of enlarged and liberal policy, a policy worthy of imitation. All possess alike liberty of conscience and immunities of citizenship. It is now no more that toleration is spoken of as if it was by the indulgence of one class of people that another enjoyed the exercise of their inherent natural rights. For happily, the government of the United States, which gives to bigotry no sanction, to persecution no assistance, requires only that they who live under its protection should demean themselves as good citizens. May the children, and this is kind of important, may the children of the stock of Abraham who dwell in this land continue to merit and enjoy the goodwill of the other inhabitants, while every one shall sit under his own vine and fig tree, and there shall be none to make him afraid." That reference to the children of the stock of Abraham is not by accident, and it is not solely referent to the Jewish people to whom he was writing. Abraham Lincoln and John Adams each had kind and decent things to say about Islam. Thomas Jefferson kept, I believe, the first Quran in the United States in his own personal library. I believe it is in the Library of Congress now. And even the Old Testament itself, the Decalogue, or not the Decalogue, but the Decameron, oh, I don't know, the first five books of the Bible. Note that in telling the Abraham story, that Abraham's firstborn was by Hagar, and his wife Sarai wanted him dead, but instead was appeased by Abraham running them out into the desert to seek succor where they might find it. And that those children of Abraham are the Arabic peoples, whereas the children of his second son, Isaac, became via Jacob the children of Israel. Because when Jacob got in the hot soup, he sort of had to change his name to maybe keep from, you know, right. So when George Washington says, "May the children of the stock of Abraham who dwell in this land continue to merit and enjoy the goodwill of the other inhabitants, while everyone shall sit under his own vine and fig tree, and there shall be none to make him afraid," it wasn't just the Jews to whom he was speaking. These were very learned, very enlightened men. Sadly, the Cordoba House discussion, the Cordoba House mountain out of a molehill, that has been created by vicious, intolerant, racism-infused, bigotry-breathing freaks, well, they're not quite as enlightened. One of those unenlightened souls is a man by the name of Rabbi Marvin Heyer. He's from the Simon Wiesenthal Center. he appeared necessarily on Radio Rwanda.
The mosque at Ground Zero, as you know, but said it won't oppose the ruling of the New York Landmarks Commission. But now another Jewish group is speaking out against the site. Rabbi Marvin Heyer is the founder and dean of the Simon Wiesenthal Center. Rabbi, welcome. Why speak out now?
Well, very simple. It's a great idea. It's the wrong location. It's very insensitive. For 3,000 families...
Insensitive to whom? Oh, wait, 3,000 families. To whom he has, to whom he has spoken, I'm sure, everyone.
The 9/11 site is one of the is the site of one of the greatest atrocities ever committed in the United States, and it's a cemetery. And the opinion...
Pay attention. It's a cemetery. Got it?
Of the 3,000 families should be paramount as to what should go near that site. Now, having a 15-story mosque within 600 feet of the site is at the very least insensitive.
15-story mosque that isn't a mosque. But never mind, you know, what's a mosque among friends or enemies? There's only one problem with Rabbi Marvin Heyer. And this is creepy. Rabbi Marvin Heyer has declared that the site of the September 11th, 2001 attacks in New York is a cemetery. You heard him say it yourself. I didn't fool with the audio. He said it, and he said it on Radio Rwanda. It's a cemetery. Okay? There's just one little teensy problem. Physician, heal thyself. Sorry, wrong testament. Doesn't apply to Rabbi Heyer. Still, he thinks that Ground Zero is a cemetery. Said so, plainly. Well, he's with the Simon Wiesenthal Center. And at present, as we speak, his organization is building a museum of, what did I talk about, George Washington? What did he say? Wait, back up. It is now no more that toleration is spoken of as if it was by the indulgence of one class of people that another enjoyed the exercise of their inherent natural rights. Remember that? Right. Well, a Heyer's organization is at present building a Museum of Tolerance in Jerusalem. Now, you know, you can hardly sink a shovel into the dirt in that area without hitting something ancient. We understand this. But by Rabbi Heyer's words, cemeteries have a special place in the human psyche. And we can't even have a Muslim-oriented YMCA within 600 feet of that cemetery. Meanwhile, his organization is building a Museum of Tolerance actually on top of a Muslim graveyard in Jerusalem. On top of a Muslim graveyard in Jerusalem. It's called the Mamilla Cemetery. There are literally thousands upon thousands of grave sites, and those grave sites are as old as 1,200 years. A petition filed on behalf of the Palestinian descendants of those buried in Mamilla Cemetery says as follows: a significant portion of the cemetery is being destroyed, and hundreds of human remains are being desecrated so that the Simon Wiesenthal Center can build a facility to be called the Center for Human Dignity Museum of Tolerance on this sacred Muslim site. Now, what did Rabbi Heyer say? Yes, great idea. Wrong location. But you know, Rabbi Heyer, I guess he holds himself to a higher standard than the ancient bones of some subhumans like the Muslims. Right? Right. That, of course, is sarcasm. If you want to talk about subhumans, let's talk about the people who manufactured this entire tempest in a teapot. Because remember, we can't have the wound is still too raw from September the 11th, 2001, and we can't have Muslims anywhere near it. They done it to us. All right? One problem. At Salon, Justin Elliott has noted, it's almost as if the entire Ground Zero mosque controversy was whipped up out of nothing by a right-wing tabloid and politicians in search of a wedge issue. Now, why would he say something like that? Well, remember, Newt Gingrich's chimed in, Mussolini's chimed in, Liz Cheney has chimed in. Good idea, wrong location. Justin Elliott writes, one thing that is particularly damning, however, although words like hypocrisy really have no resonance with the right wing, just as shame or modesty has no place with a stripper. Modesty more than shame. I'm not one of these that's creeped out by the human body. Modesty. Whatever. Justin Elliott writing, that Salon, yes, yes, Muslims have infiltrated the Pentagon for their nefarious, prayerful purposes, daring to practice their religion inside the building where 184 people died on September 11th, 2001. They haven't even had the sensitivity to move two blocks, let alone a mile, away from that sacred site. Hypocrite. Thy name is Repiglican. May the children of the stock of Abraham who dwell in this land continue to merit and enjoy the goodwill of the other inhabitants, while every one shall sit under his own vine and fig tree, and there shall be none to make him afraid. To the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Juanita.
I'm going to ask you a question I've been wanting to ask for quite a while.
Yes, ma'am.
That picture on the website of that front porch, is that yours?
No, no. Those are just pictures randomly selected with great good humor by
gorgeous.
News Ninja Susan.
I thought, oh, my God.
No. The mansion here looks nothing like that. Someday I'll clean up the front porch and post a picture of that.
But I thought that was such a lovely picture. I wanted to say a few things about a few different things. For instance, about the Tea Party. You know, they're trying to make them out like they're honorable people.
Right.
I'm not buying it, and you know, it reminds me a lot of how the Ku Klux Klan every now and then comes up and they say, well, we're not like we used to be. Well, I feel like, yeah, you are in a way if you have a chance. And another thing, if you're changed, start some other kind of organization that actually would help white people. And not play on their prejudices and be destructive toward all humankind, you know. And that's the way I'm looking at the Tea Party. I'm just not buying it that they're honorable. And another one, for one thing, is the guy that I think really started it all was that the economy. And that guy is horrible.
Oh, he's toxic. He's poison.
Yes, he is. And I don't know if you've ever seen about how he, you know, he was on that Sunday show one time with Rachel Maddow.
Mm-hmm.
And she really, she knows how to question people. She's smart. She knows what her facts and all. And he's just made all these remarks about her. He's a disgusting person anyway. Absolutely, completely. And then you've got what's her name, Bachman. Can you imagine, if that woman from Nevada,
Sharon Angle,
if she won, and that woman that was the head of Packard, if she won, imagine them all getting together and just driving us up the wall more so than we are now.
Oh, without a doubt, Juanita, and I don't know if
and
you
not
saw...
not just them, Rand Paul.
I don't know if you saw this latest thing from Sharon Angle, but... it's coming
Which
pretty.
One?
I know it's coming pretty fast and furious now, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
She filled out a questionnaire for a conservative PAC, and she said the following: Republican Sharon Angle believes that clergy should be allowed to endorse candidates from the pulpit and opposes laws allowing gays to adopt children. She would oppose making sexual orientation a protected minority in civil rights laws. In a section on school prayer on the questionnaire, she affirms that students and teachers should be able to talk openly about their religion in schools, including the right to publicly acknowledge the Creator, and that the federal government bans churches from participating in political campaigns on behalf of candidates. But Angle said clergy should be able to express views on candidates from the pulpit.
Well, they do it already, but...
Right.
Legally, she's talking about legally.
Yeah.
But,
but there's so much more fun, Juanita. She considers a fetus a person for constitutional purposes. She reaffirmed that abortion should be illegal in all cases, no exceptions for rape, not for incest, mm-hmm. and not for the life of the mother.
Right.
Illegal.
You make a lemonade out of a lemon.
Right. This woman's toxic. And said she also, she's at least got some ideas about, campaign finance, because she said she wouldn't take any money from a company that supports gay rights.
Well, I also saw her, she said it, that she only wanted to be on a program
where they'd ask her fun questions.
Provided so that she would get the right kind of publicity.
And then she could direct everybody to her website.
Uh-huh.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like she didn't miss any episodes of the 700 Club, did she?
No. Well, I think she was on the 700 Club one time. You heard about what she said about that liberals were, we worship a false god of government.
Right. Yes.
We worship government.
We're all just violating that first commandment left and right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they're just so perfect.
But in speaking of these religious wrong organizations, these fundamentalists, these freaks, Juanita, did you see the latest about the imprecatory praying people?
Oh, no, what?
Because I know you know what imprecatory prayer
is. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
That's when you pray for God to do some smiting.
Right.
In Arkansas, there were two places where a woman could go for issues related to female reproductive health.
Uh-huh.
One of them was the Fayetteville Women's Clinic in Fayetteville, Arkansas. That's the home of the University of Arkansas, Suey Pig, all that kind of stuff. And that facility closed its doors on July the 30th.
Uh-huh.
They had more than 500 patients.
Wow.
Mostly they did obstetrics and gynecology, but they did about 700 to 800 abortions a year. Now, they had protesters outside, and they'd been firebombed, and the doctor was at a point where he had to keep a gun because of all the death threats he got.
Yeah.
Enter a group called 40 Days for Life, Juanita. They're one of the groups that was all the time outside the clinic protesting and Harry and the patients, the women going in.
Yeah.
It's run by a fiend by the name of Dr. William. I'm sorry. The clinic is run by Dr. William Harrison. I don't know. Maybe this article isn't entirely clear. Yeah, Dr. Harrison runs the clinic. But upon hearing that Dr. Harrison was shutting down the clinic, 40 days for life staffers took to jumping up and down and hooting and hosanna and praising God in the highest and all of that stuff. You got to hear this. This is, I mean, it's not audio, but just this quote is sickening. This will be the sixth abortion center in a location where 40 days for life's peaceful prayer vigils have been conducted to go out of business.
Yeah.
And that's from Sean Carney. He's the fiend who runs 40 Days for Life. It is truly an answer to prayer. See, I told you they were praying that abortions will no longer be carried out at this facility. All the glory belongs to God. Uh-huh. How humbling it will be to see God use the simplicity of prayer, fasting, outreach, and vigil to bring an end to abortion in many more areas, just like Fayetteville. We rejoice over the babies that will be saved and the parents who will be spared from a lifetime of regret. That's from Juliet Castle. She's a Fayetteville coordinator for 40 Days for Life. That's what she said when she heard the facility was closing.
Well, if...
Wait. Just a minute. Sorry.
That's okay.
Now we find out why it was that the clinic closed. Dr. William Harrison has leukemia.
Oh, yeah.
And he said he plans to make a full recovery and hopefully reopen.
But these goons
are out there talking about how God saved the little babies. And apparently God saved the little babies by giving a loathsome, life-threatening, cancerous disease to another human being.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want anything to do with that God they worship. He sounds pretty bloodthirsty. You know what I mean?
They're worshiping
a bloodthirsty God.
I think we know who they're worshiping.
Yeah.
But they caused it. I don't see that. For one thing, you know, God doesn't force himself on you. We have free choice. And, another thing, you have to really be careful about what you pray for. I do. I've had things to come back on me that I prayed some bad things for other people, and it happened to me. One of them happened to me. It lasted for years. It was a physical problem, and I actually had it, got it. And, I mean, believe that or not, but I know from personal experience, like, and you have to be careful how you pray about these things, but I do pray about some things, and I'm not sure I'm right. I'd like to know what Susan thinks about. I know she doesn't believe in wishing something on somebody.
No.
And I'd like to get her viewpoint on that because I am concerned. I know that I have to be careful, and I do see evidence sometime of what I'm praying for. But right now, the one thing that I'm praying for is that the Republicans will lose big time. That they, you know, for a while I was kind of saying, you know, well, let's just give up and let them have it, you know, and just face the music and dance or whatever and die. I pray that they will lose big time, that they will be shocked how bad they'll lose. And if, what Susan think about that. You know, or anybody, what they think.
Yeah.
About, because I know what you're talking about. What you call that kind of prayer that they're praying?
Imprecatory.
The one that's in the Psalms. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, bear in mind, once they found out why the clinic was closing and what the cause of it was, they backtracked in a hurry, Juanita. David Barright was contacted, at 40 Days for Life. He's their national director. And basically Think Progress said to him, well, you do know the reason he's closing this is because of cancer. And this is after all these Arkansas travelers had been out there hooting and hollering and carrying on and praising Jeebus and everything. And he said, we have no doubt that the hundreds of volunteers who faithfully prayed, this is all, they have no doubt. They also have no knowledge. We have no doubt that the hundreds of volunteers who faithfully prayed outside that facility, as well as the dozens of pro-life counselors who lovingly offered alternatives to potential abortion customers, they're not customers, they're patients. had an impact on the business of the Fayetteville Women's Clinic, and this facility's announced closure is certainly an answer to prayers. Then he says, Dr. Harrison and I have communicated on many occasions by email over the last several years, and he knows that the local Fayetteville 40 Days for Life volunteers regularly pray for him and wish him no harm. No, they pray for him, but they wish him no harm. But that wishing, that's satanic. Got to remember, these are fundies, but they pray for him. Wonder what they pray for him to do, go to heaven?
They probably don't want him to. I don't know. I don't know. These people are just twisted to my way of thinking, the way I look at it. But, I mean, and, you know, it's hard for me to express how I do. I've evolved to a certain extent in a lot of my beliefs. Because I was ignorant of a lot of stuff, even though I went to church for a long time, I didn't.
Well, if you go to church, they'll work. You go to church, they'll work real hard to keep you ignorant.
Well, and for me, the guilt trip is what worked. I mean, I used to, when I was in my early teens, I thought I was the most terrible person in the world, you know. And you look back, I really wasn't.
You know, when you say something like that, Juanita, I can't help but think curses on anybody that would make you feel that way. Because I've got a feeling you've been pretty well rock solid the way you are now for most of your life.
Well, I'm glad I've arrived at this, you know, and I hope to get to a bit better position too, you know, because I don't know, it's been a long journey for me. But for one thing, some of the stuff not being taught, and a lot of stuff is tradition that you're raised with, and tradition will kill you. You know, a lot of it is like in...
Well, there's Juanita's trenchant remark of the evening. Write that one down and carve it in stone. Tradition will kill you.
It will, because a lot of times that's their interpretation of the Bible, and it's... And a lot of it's got nothing to do with the Bible. And, you know, I don't know if you saw Jink on TV, but he was, you know, Jink's like you, he reads the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And he was recommending people read the Bible there on MSNBC.
Yeah, he's gotten himself a nice little fill-in gig, hadn't he?
Yeah, for this week, yeah. But he does rants on there, too. Anyway, he was talking about that, and he said, you know, he's rejected his Muslim belief. He doesn't believe in anything now, but he respects other people's religion. But he said his mother is a Muslim, or Muslim, how do you say it?
Muslim, I think, is
Muslim,
the going, yeah.
And he said she's the sweetest person in the world. Said she would give you a shirt off her back. And I believe him. And, anyway, he was talking about the things, you know, about eating the shellfish and all that kind of stuff. But they want to leave that, the fundies, as you call them, they want to leave all that off, you know.
Right.
Just the gays, you know. And the thing is, I think about what a waste that they're doing of time, energy, and money, and getting...
Yeah, because they're sort of ignoring that whole... passage from Matthew about, you know, because Jesus kind of prioritizes things, doesn't he?
Yes, he said, I was hungry and you fed me not,
naked and you clothed me not. You know, he puts a high premium on those really basic values, and they're not doing any of that. Right, and you didn't come visit me?
And there all this, they're wasting all this time and effort and money on hating gays and hating abortionists, and yet when the child comes, don't give them any welfare. Don't give them any kind of help.
No, we've got to cut the deficit. Absolutely, we've got to cut the deficit. We got to balance the budget.
Especially if it's a single mother, you know, Shapley. Another thing I don't like about her, you know, she said that if you were sexually whatever on the job, you're just not a lady. Sexually harassed.
Well, just like Dick Cheney, she proves that evil is a preservative.
Yeah, you got that right. And, you know, I don't want the guy to die because we'll have to have the funeral on, right?
Oh, I hadn't even thought of that.
I think about it a lot when I think about, no, I don't want these people to die.
Can't we just stuff his old body in an old toxic waste 55-gallon drum and put a little extra cement in and tow it out to the beach? You know, what would be more fitting than to bury Dick Cheney at sea right there at the site of the BP disaster well?
Well, I definitely wouldn't eat any more seafood. Think about it. But, yeah, oh.
That's the thing, Juanita. You say things, and I do think about them. And, yeah, that, you know what? Burying Dick Cheney at sea could completely wipe out what's left of the Gulf seafood industry.
I don't want to get a little piece of him in my fish, you know.
No, or shuck an oyster and see that little face staring up at you instead of a pearl? Oh, my. Oh, no.
Yeah. But I know that's kind of loony, but I do think about it. I know that, like, especially like if Bush, you know, something happened, or Barbara, you know, and, of course, they're getting on up there. And anyway, they'll have their funeral and it'll be all over, you know. You won't see anything else but that. And
and David in Tennessee says it has to be a stainless steel barrel in that case. I'll add lead lined.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, I'll go for that. But you know, it's you've been talking about food. It's another thing I wanted to ask you about. You were talking the other day about the Subway bread, about the whole wheat.
No, yeah, that's colored by garden fertilizer, ammonium sulfate.
I thought you said some kind of paint or something.
No, it's ammonium sulfate. That's what dyes the otherwise white flour golden brown.
Well, I used to, you have heard of Merita bread?
Merita? Oh, gosh, yes. Oh, yes, Merita.
I don't know if it's all over the country or not.
Well, it certainly was in Alabama when I was a little boy.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got where I like that autumn grain. It's not really a whole wheat, but it's supposed to have wheat in it. And it really was good for a long time, but all of a sudden it started like having this, like a bitter taste to it. And after a while, I just quit buying it. So I'm wondering if they put some of that stuff in there.
Well, and you know what? You've got to read the ingredients label for all the things that could be high fructose corn syrup or variations on the theme. And now they want to sneak off and they're taking away the high fructose and they're just calling it corn syrup because their brand has become so toxic.
Yeah. You were talking about corn syrup too, you know, about the ingredient for pecan pie.
Oh, Cairo, yeah.
Yeah. And, is that corn?
Well, you know, I actually sent, funny you should ask, Juanita, you and I, you know, it's not very difficult for you and me to get on the same wavelength. Earlier today, I got to wondering about that myself because I haven't had a pecan pie in a while. And I shot off a note to, because I went and looked up Cairo syrup, and that's how I found out they've been, you know, they first came out in 1902. So that wasn't any high fructose corn sweetener. So I wrote off to him and said, you know, it says corn syrup. Does it contain high fructose corn syrup? And they immediately told me that they would respond to me in 3 to 5 business days. So we should expect an answer about a week from now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, I'd like to know. And, you know, another thing, the my son and I were looking up chicken, like, you know, fresh chicken. And he thought, like, Herschel Walker, you know, raised chickens and looking it up online. But he gets it from a certain company, Simmons Company.
Uh-huh.
It sounds like, I mean, they are free roaming. I don't know much more of the details. But we were talking about Purdue and what's the other one?
Tyson.
Tyson. And both of them have been called up for different things. You know, Purdue on TV, he claims they don't give him any false substances, but, you know, he got recalled on their nuggets and stuff, according to what I looked up.
Yeah, so, did I ever tell the story on air about Agnes and the Chicken McNugget?
You know, it seemed like you did, but I forgot what it
was. The children were little, and this is before I was as enlightened as I am now. But we were at McDonald's, and the kids wanted to go there because they wanted to play in the play yard. So, you know, the kids win. And I forget if it was Ferg or Doodle or somebody wasn't eating their McNuggets. So Agnes, being the dutiful mommy, well, she's going to eat them for them. Not going to just throw them away.
That's the mama for you.
And so she puts it in her mouth and takes a bite, and when she bites down on it, she screams. Not kidding.
Yeah.
And
I'm remembering now, but I can feel.
And she reached into her mouth and pulled out this shard of razor-sharp aluminum.
Oh, no.
That had driven all the way up into the nerve of a tooth.
Of her tooth?
Mm-hmm.
Bless her heart.
Mm. Oh, it was awful. And we told the manager, well, you want some more? No!
You're right.
But, next one's liable to be laced with cyanide.
Yeah, you just don't know what you're going to get into.
Well, but you know, she said, you know, my God, what if one of the children had swallowed that? What would it have done to their little insides?
Right, absolutely. Well, you know, you've been talking about syrup.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same thing as syrup?
Yeah, that's syrup. Yep.
I just wanted to be funny.
No, you are, but yeah, that's... Same thing, different language. Syrup.
That's like pecans and pecans. And
right.
You never know. And like, I used to get laughed at if I call it syrup.
Syrup.
Because we call it syrup.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. If we're having waffles, Juanita, I say pass the syrup. But if I'm talking about that poisonous stuff that goes into Coca-Cola, I say high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah.
Now, I wonder why that is.
I don't know.
Maybe because that's the more scientific-sounding way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have to be really, you know, sound educated, like we're highly educated. Well, you are. But we're going to have our runoff down here on the 24th.
And what's his name? Bill McCollum, your attorney general, is not looking so good.
Well, oh God, that other guy, you know, I sent you his picture.
Oh, Rick Scott.
Yeah, they had a debate, I think it was last night, and I was going to watch it, and something happened, so I haven't seen it. But Meeks is coming up on the, Bill Clinton's coming down here to promote Meeks, you know, for senator.
Mm-hmm.
But that other guy's ahead of him, the one that couldn't remember if he voted for Carter or Reagan on his first and he's sending out all these attack things on Meek. And they cost a lot of, you know, my son was a printer, and he said these things cost him the millions of dollars what he's spending. And he's also, he's friends with Heidi Fleiss. Remember her?
No, I do.
And Mike Tyson. I mean, I'm not knocking Mike Tyson, but he's a billionaire. And he's just really, really getting on to Meek. But I don't know but that's the Senate. And we've got a woman running for the Democrat. I don't know if we've got any other Democrats. She's good, but whether she's got a chance or not, I don't know. You just don't hear her. I've heard maybe two ads where this, the guy that looks like a Cretan or whatever, he has ads just constantly And now Bill McCollum's having quite a few. But every time Bill McCollum comes with something, that other guy comes up with something better. But I don't know how that's going to add up. But sometime when I call you, I'll tell you about me and the county. My county, you know, how I've had so much trouble with them.
Round and round, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I got Ron in Raleigh just sent us an email, Juanita. He was listening to us talk about what to do with the corpse of Dick Cheney when that glad day arrives.
Yeah.
He says, "Do you remember that line from Time Bandits? When the evil sorcerer blows up into smoldering chunks, the boy looks at his daddy and says, 'Don't touch that, it's evil.'"
Yeah.
Ron says, "Dick Cheney will be one of those chunks."
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm sad to say, but that is an evil man.
So we've got a plan. Lead-lined stainless steel, the triple-layered barrel.
Yeah.
Welded shut.
Well, that's kind of what he was.
They could plug the well with him.
Yeah. Oh, don't you believe that that's really all fixed now?
Yeah. But oddly enough,
most of us evaporated.
Sure.
And we had had no hurricanes go through there big time.
But you know, it's interesting. While we've all been focused on the Gulf, there was a piece in today's Charleston paper. That was a reprint from the Seattle Times, and their writer, Craig Welch. Acidification threatens wide swath of sea life.
Uh-huh.
And it's I'll mispronounce this one. I'll get six emails about it. It's from Dabob Bay, Washington, or maybe Dabob. But there's a line in there, and it just blew me away. Pacific oysters in the wild on Washington's coast haven't reproduced in six seasons.
Wow.
Scientists suspect ocean chemistry changes linked to the fossil fuel emissions that cause global warming are helping kill these juvenile shellfish.
Oh, I sincerely believe that, like you hear about these whales being washed up and dolphins.
Sure.
And it's like they're committing suicide. I think that the oceans, some of the things that happening that we're doing, human beings are doing, are driving them crazy. You know? And I talked to a man, I met a man, I was waiting in a doctor's office one time, and he was retired Navy admiral or something. And I asked him, I said, do you think that what the Navy's doing, you know, I think it was a sonar or something, some kind of sound waves? I said, don't you think that's upsetting the whales?
Now, it's got to be painful.
And he said, yes. He said, of course it is. I mean, we do all kinds of things to the land. We think we can do more so to the ocean. But it matters, too.
Indeed it does.
And no animals have...
Well, how is it that I'm sitting here in 2010, because I try to stay up on stuff, Juanita, how is it I'm sitting here in 2010 and I find out that Pacific oysters along the Washington coastline haven't reproduced for six
right.
years? Where's that story been for 6 years?
Right. And now, you know, it is so hot down here. My son almost had a heat stroke. And it just gets so hot. And I know it is other places, too. I know you've had it, too. And it gets so hot till you just feel like you can't do anything. It's just kind of paralyzing. And they said this is the worst we've had in a long, long time or ever. And, we've had hardly any rain here. We've had, like, when we have rain, it might last 30 minutes. And it's kind of like maybe once or twice a week in this section. Now, it'll rain maybe somewhere close to us, but it won't rain here.
Won't rain on you. Meanwhile, the reason that we're still trying to finish up the septic job here is because it's done nothing but rain.
Yeah.
but just as well because I've still got to roust up a whole bunch.
Does it rain every day?
Just for the last couple of weeks, just about every day, one of those pop-up thunder showers comes up, and just, I mean, rains to beat the band.
Uh-huh.
Juanita, I got to roll along because we're about out of time.
Okay, well, you take care, and you take care of my little boy.
I sure will, and I'll tell you. I'll tell him that you
send
spoke.
Send my love to Judy.
Oh, please. I certainly will. I certainly will. If you want to just write out a little email, I'll hand carry it.
Okay.
Okie dokie. Just put for Judy in the subject line.
Okay.
You take care, Juanita.
All right. Night, night.
Bye now. Juanita is a sage beyond her own knowing. Tradition will kill you. Put that one up on the board. Hey, welcome to the program.
Timmy Bob?
That's you.
Oh, geez, I get in on the end.
Yeah, you get the last word, Sparky.
Yeah, I just want, first of all, it was a thing, Catherine Canada had a thing going there, whether she'd call in or I'd call in. So I said, I'll call if you call, but she didn't do it. She chickened out.
Ah. Well, I think she's a little tied up, too, because she's chasing a four-year-old.
Yeah, but it's easy to do.
Anyway, how long has it been since you chased a four-year-old?
I haven't chased a four-year-old.
See? Yeah, it's easy to do. You can talk.
But anyway, the thing about Ferg, I hope everything goes okay. I really screwed up my knee when I was about 20 years old in the Air Force. Inner knee.
Yeah.
Meniscus. And, I can remember back then in the dark ages, you know, they used to inject dye into your knee so they could see the cartilage. With like a fluoroscope or something. And I heard the guy back behind the screen that was looking at my knee. Says, boy, this is the worst one I've ever seen.
That's encouraging.
And so, you know, a couple months later, the Air Force did the surgery on me and got me back. And then months later, I discovered I had a floater in my knee.
Little piece of junk broke loose and...
Yeah, well, yeah, and it grew and it grew and it got about the size of a quarter.
Yeah.
Kept going underneath my kneecap and popping back out, you know. And I was in Thailand just getting ready to get out of the Air Force and I went for my separation physical. And I told the doctor about it and he felt it and he goes, well, we recommend you have that removed. He goes, you got two options, wait for the VA or have it done now. So I said, thought about it for a second, and I said, let's get it done now. 2 days I was out of Thailand, back to Travis having the surgery again. But you know what I got now? I'm almost 59 now, and I got osteoarthritis in the knee.
Right. And that's often a sequelae of it, yeah.
And the only thing that I'm doing now is getting the injections. Me through, you know, the Orthovisc, made out of the chicken comb stuff. That's the only, it's artificial lubricant. That's what.
Well, one of the things I am going to do is I'm going to get Ferg some glucosamine, chondroitin, and shark cartilage and stuff like that, and see if that might make things a little better or a little easier. Sparky, I hate to do it, but we are smack out of time. Good to hear from you, though, brother.
Yeah, but one last thing I want you. Did you know there's a church right across the street from Ground Zero?
No, but it doesn't surprise me. You know, those are good Christians.
It's an old church where Washington went on his inauguration day.
Oh, yeah, you can. It showed up in some of the 9/11 videos that show the planes flying. Yeah, it's an Episcopal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to Ground Zero in 2006 when I was back to New York. I posted some pictures to the chat. I'll post them again so you can see them.
Okay, or just shoot them to me via email. That's cool.
All right.
All right, thanks, Sparky.
Uh-huh.
Have a good weekend.
All right.
Bye now.
Bye.
And so it is that this week comes to a close with one minor bump in the road being Thursday, but we had a whale of a Friday on the front porch, I do believe. It's time to close up shop, and we'll meet you again on Monday evening. And we will also Monday evening try to, I've rescheduled that conversation with Mark Carlin of Buzzflash and Maya Shenhua of Truthout. I think that'll be a very interesting conversation. Remember, this weekend, Rick Smith and The Rick Smith Show comes your way live at noon Eastern time on both Saturday and Sunday. You can call in and participate if you wish. I'm sure that Rick would love to hear from some of you guys. So please don't be shy. Do feel free to call in. Thanks to everybody who makes the program go. Lottie, our chat room moderator. Gene and Susan, our news ninjas. Texas Betsy is our blogger. Matt Osborne at osborneinc.com, OSBORNEINK.com, is our Southeast correspondent. We're going to talk a little bit about this dig business on Monday as well, I hope, because that plays into a lot of stuff, you know, with regard to what we do here. OsborneInc.com. Our op-ed columnist for Cavalcade of Crazy at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is Reverbo. Last I checked, orbiting the planet in his airship, the Silver Pelican. There will be more on that coming soon. My head writer is David in Tennessee. Please do continue to send out your good thoughts, your prayers, your fondest hopes for Judy Bonds as she battles cancer. She's part of the reason that I say that Coal River Mountain Watch are the bravest, hardest working people I know. CRMW.net and coalriverwind.org. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.
Cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy!
I got to tell you, it certainly is frustrating to try to cram two shows into one. I'm sorry about last night, but it was unavoidable. Football season has begun here, insofar as football practice has begun. And Ferg, before they even got the pads on and started hitting each other, hurt himself. This was during weight training, weight conditioning. He was bench pressing, and well, bless his heart, he's a devoted, dedicated guy. And they were bench pressing. One more, one more. You can do it. You can do it. And he's pushing. And he's bench pressing. And he's. And something in his elbow goes. Luckily, it's a different elbow from the one that went last year. So off to the emergency room we went. You know what? We walk in. Hi, Mr. Kincaid. Hi, Ferg. How you doing? What'd you do this time? We're on a first name basis. Pretty soon, I think I'm just going to we'll get our own room. But no, he's apparently wrenched a ligament or something. But on top of that, it turns out that, and you know, welcome to medical care in America. I don't quite understand this. They took an MRI. He had some knee problems out of the season last year. So last May, they did an MRI of his knee. and sent it back to his orthopod, and nothing happened. Nothing. And you know how it, gets in the busy day-to-day the madness of any given, of your life, my life, our lives. Out of sight, out of mind. So they didn't call us. So yesterday, I'm over in the ER, and I just walked over the medical records, and I said, you know, while I'm at it, I might as well get a copy of that MRI report. Famous last words. So it turns out not only has he got a dinged-up elbow, he has a badly torn meniscus in his left knee. Am I violating any, like, legal rule? I mean, his dad, come on, your family. So there may be some surgery in the future. We don't know. The next consult is in, you couldn't get an earlier appointment than September. Yeah, you know, what's a month? You know, the thing was shot in May. What the... So anyway, that's what my evening was, and that's why we've got to cram two shows into one show's worth of programming. And don't anybody say, well, hey, Bob, just go an extra... No, I like to go listen to Malloy, thank you. So, no, that's 3 hours that we've got to get this all in. And so much to get in this. Just to give you a quick update, the weather permitting, the massive Kincaid family septic odyssey will be completed no later than Wednesday. You remember the urgency with which we raised money to do this. And we did manage to raise the $5,000 during the month of late June, early June. Yeah, it was mid-June, during which we were under the gun lest we start getting like $100 a day fines. That part we dodged, and we were under the impression I had been given the impression that the darn thing was going to be $5,000, and we raised that. Granted, that included the regular $2,000 that it takes to run the network on any given month, but we raised the $5,000, and I greedily tucked it away and hoarded it against the day when we would. Well, the final numbers are in, and it just crossed the $7,000 mark. That might not be so bad if, you know, the fundraising for last month, if we can just put off the bills and tell them they'll go into the hat next month. If fundraising for the July had been normal, but that was a $700 hole. And so, here I am. Here we are. And scrambling to finish the great Kincaid family septic odyssey. And you know what's going to happen? I'm going to make, school's not back in session or anything. The minute that big-ass concrete tank is in the ground, I'm gathering all the little Kincaidkins and Agnes and me.